Hello, everybody out there in the internet. Welcome to Aimless Pebbles, the episode 409. I'm Chris Hams, Tekken Master, joined by
RPG Maniac 05
and Trioptical.
So, yeah, we've got some what we've been playing, some RRR, and some news.
Welcome back. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everybody. We're back and we're all drug free.
Why are you specifically talking about drugs, RPG?
Just in case.
So yeah, I like physics. What? Off to a great start.
Told him anyway.
Wow. I was talking and thinking, and RPG said that, and like my brain just like, you know,
talking, thinking, misses. I mean, it happens.
It's gone. It's gone. It's all gone. But oh yeah. Okay. So yeah. You know, like RPG said, you know, Happy New Year. If you're back, I guess it means you did not, you know, have anything bad happen to you with the consent curtain that we talked about in the last episode. Or, you know, didn't get stuck behind one or have any issues with one, hopefully. So, yeah. Yeah, all that stuff.
Yeah.
What you been playing? So, I guess I'll start, as usual.
Cool.
Handhelds, one day they may return, hopefully, because, you know, I kind of need that balance in my life. But I have not found it yet.
Wait, when do you usually play your handhelds?
When I'm at work, why?
Just curious. I like to know things.
Yeah. I mean, not what I've been playing, but I did, like, finally pick up some games in that holiday sale. So, I mean, not finally, but, you know, I do, at the end of the year, like to treat myself. Because it's like, you know what? Tekken's been a good boy. He didn't kill anybody. He deserves this treat. Okay? Get off my back and let me play my games.
Do you usually kill people?
I mean, there's always time, RPG. The night is young every night. And
we're like issuing a lot of suspicious denials.
I just about to say, what's happening over the break?
I mean, I may have, you know, had a good year this year, but, you know, all it takes is one bad day, as we know. And
well, it's only been like 8 days into the year, so I mean, so that's good, I guess.
I'm just saying. It's just one short decision that you make that's bad, and that's one that you can't go back from. As far as like, you know, haven't killed anybody yet. Ho ho. So, you know, just saying, slate's still clean, but there's plenty of time. There's plenty of time.
Next
there's
always know, plenty of time. You're poisoning Gotham's water supply and demanding that.
What has happened during the break? Like, this is a weird way to start.
I mean, you know, some people have hobbies.
Drug-free? Nobody died? Not by my hand? Anyway?
I'm about to say not by your hand. So, you know, good start. Off to a good start.
Wow. You know what? Just to keep it in that whole theme of air quote good start, Disney too, what the F, man? Like, I don't know what they're doing over there. It's like, I mean, I guess I kind of know. It's like, let's just drip feed them content because we can't make enough fast enough for them to not burn through. But, you know, in that process that we're doing, we just can't not piss them off. So, man. But
in their defense, it's Destiny, so.
That was a funny thing. I predicted, like, the first armory for Black Armor when it came out was, like, too high level. And everybody was like, man, it's too high level. Blah, blah, blah. I even stopped playing that day because I was like, well, I'm not making any progress to this thing. And then they lowered it. And I was like, oh, I didn't expect that. And then, kind of smooth sailing until today when it's, like, or yesterday, rather, when it's, like, the last of the forges comes out. And there's some, like, weird obtuse puzzle thing you have to solve in order to get access to it. But then it's like, it's a community thing where it's like, as long as the first person solves it, it's solved for everybody. Yay! But it didn't get solved. And it was like super not.
What exactly is it? Could you explain it? Because I saw Gamer tweeting about it, and then I keep seeing people talking about it, and I'm like, I don't, what exactly is this puzzle that is causing all this trouble?
Okay, so I didn't actually play through. I just went to the area because I was like, maybe I can solve it. I could be the first. But then I got there, and then I was like, okay, what do I do now? And then I like read an article about it. And apparently, some of the guns that you get from the Black Armory have scopes on them that when you look through them, can see things. And then I guess that's like
what?
The first one.
Cryptic.
It's very cryptic. And then some of the guns have like things on them that when you look on them, it's like, oh, this is in binary, and it means XYZ, whatever, whatever. So you just, like, you know, start putting the things together. And I guess there's, like, a thing that you stand on, and then, like, you're looking through the gun, and, like, you shoot a certain symbol, and it opens a door or something, or it starts something. But apparently, there's, like, it triggers something where you fight waves of enemies. And then I guess you still have to, like, do all that puzzle-solving crap in between them. And then there's, like, seven waves, I want to say. Seven or eight, because I think the eighth is, like, the boss wave, whatever. Because people could only get to the sixth one. And I'm like, the seventh's the last one, right? No, because there's one more. Because there's always one more. You're playing Destiny. Are you having fun yet? And then,
You are not. You are, in fact, not having fun yet.
And so, like, it triggers this whole thing. You fight the enemies. And then, I guess, after you kill all the enemies and, like, you finish all the combat section, there's, like, another puzzle thing. But you only have, like, one chance to put the code in that would, like, solve the thing before it, like, completely wipes your fire team. So you can only, like,
Wow.
You do all that crap, and then it's like, okay, put the code in, but, like, it's got all this, like, puzzle, cryptic garbage going on of, like, oh, what's the symbol? Oh, let me put it in. And it's, like, an order. It's, like, pretty much, like, putting in nuclear codes if you had, like, one chance. And, like, don't F up or you die. And it's like that. And it's like, oh. Wrong code, your party's dead, and then nobody got it. Like 24 hours of that, and then Bungie's like, okay, guys, whatever, and they just push the button to, like, make it live. And then, but that's not the end of it, because I was playing it today, because I was like, yay, I can actually play and do things. And then I got to the Forge, and then, I mean, obviously to get to the Forge, because Black Armory is, like, terrible with this, like, you have to, like, grind and, like, do stupid stuff in order to get to the Forge anyway. So, like, got to the Forge, was doing the Forge, and then noticed that when an enemy killed me, they were 650, which is the level cap. So it's like, not only did they gate this behind some, like, BS garbage puzzle thing, but, like, when they did unlock it, it's like, oh, by the way, you have to be at max level. So if you're not at max level, double middle finger F you. Are you having fun yet? Because this is Destiny. This is the experience. Please enter our bonded room and don't forget the safety word, because you'll be having plenty of fun.
Did they ever tell you the safety word?
It's a mystery RPG. I just bring my thesaurus in the dictionary and just, like, you know, I do one page at a time if I'm feeling that inclined of, like, saying it, but I never say the secret word because I can take it all. Yeah, it's Bungie. Don't stop. But No, I didn't RPG. I didn't need to because I made it through and I got through that Forge and I got nothing. But hey, you know, it's so the little things in life. What's
the purpose of it if you? Like,
it's weird, so is it just... because, like, Destiny has the same, like, grind, basically, as any MMO. It's like, you go out to kill stuff to get other stuff so that you can go kill more stuff. And in other games, like, people seem to be fine with it, but, like, Destiny, I don't know if it's, like, the way that they do it. It just feels like they're doing it in a really annoying and aggravating way. At least, you know, every time we hear Tekken talk about it, like, that's what it is, right?
They are, dude. And it's like, RPG, I'll tell you what they give you. Every time you get... okay, so there's, like, two chances every week. Well, not two chances. There are two guaranteed drops. Like, you... there's a bounty that Ada has, Ada 1. She's the exo caretaker of the Black Armory, whatever. So she has, like, a bounty that's, like, do seven of the daily bounties for Black Armory, and you get a... modulus, whatever the F key, I forgot it. It's not even a key, it's like a modulus something, something, whatever. Stupid name for something that you don't need to worry about. And then there's also, like, another one that week that's like, do something, something, whatever, whatever. It's just some bounty thing that you do, and you get two of those. And then once you get those, she has these, well, she has three. I thought she'd have four after the new Forge unlock, but she only has three. She only carries three. And then she's like, there's, like, a weapon type. It's like, it's been, like, through the full rotation, I think. So you can get a hand cannon, auto rifle, sniper rifle, machine gun, pulse rifle. Those are the five that I know. There might be more. But basically, when you do that, you pick up that bounty, but then you have more hoops to jump through. Because it's like, you basically have to build the frame for the weapon. But to build the frame, you have to do all these quest steps, which are just so obnoxious. Because it's like, kill an enemy with 25 headshots. Get this thing that only the Forge saboteurs drop, which are these enemies that randomly spawn. And it's, well, they don't randomly spawn. They spawn in, like, certain areas, and it's just, like, a thing where it's, like, you have to go and find them and kill them, blah, blah, blah. Open this chest, blah, blah, blah. That's, like, the first step. Then the second step is, like, get precision headshots and, like, kill a certain type of enemy and, like, have them drop this thing that they drop. And then that's the second step. Third step is, like, charge it again. Also, by the way, sometimes I think... I think not every time, but sometimes you have to like go back to Ada after each of these steps. So it's like it gets just a bit like, you know, oh, you're not done, but go back to Ada. Oh, I'm not done yet. Why am I going back to Ada? Oh, and it's like, oh, kill powerful enemies. They drop these thingies that'll charge the thing more. Okay, do that. Oh, go back. Do that. Oh, not done yet. And then I think it's either 4 or 5 steps, because there's probably like another step I'm forgetting just because there's so effing many steps. It's so obnoxious. It's like Black Armory. I have not like just like been at my breaking point with this game in like a long time, because Forsaken was like pretty good, honestly. And it seemed like they were fixing things. And then this comes out and it's like, why are they doing this to us? Torture, safety word. It's like they added all that grind back in of like getting planetary materials when you want to infuse weapons. It's like, why did they do that? Why is anybody asking for that? And then just like, and then it's like, and then you can just see it. It's all over the DLC or this expansion, as far as like every time you want to do something and make progress, it's like, oh, would you like this gun? Would you like to jump through these 5 steps to get this gun that are not fun? No, too bad, because that's the only way you're gonna get the gun whatever. So have fun. And then once you get the last step, it's like, okay, you're done, but you're not done, because guess what? Now you get to actually play through the forge. And it's like, you know, in order to unlock the forges, you kind of have to do the same thing, where you go through like 3 or 4 steps of torture to get to the forge, and they're like, oh, yes, I never have to do this ever again. I never want to do this ever again. But every time you get a gun frame, it's like, guess what the last step is? Go to the forge. Which honestly isn't that bad, but it's just like, you know, PTSD and Stockholm Syndrome in this game is like so tied to like my experience with it. I'm like, I don't want to do this, but I'm doing it. This is fun, but I'm doing it. It's like, I guess I'll do it. And then it's like, you get the gun. It's like, what did I get? Oh, it's a piece of crap because it got a crappy roll. And it's like, not that great. It's like, and then like, unless it was something I needed because I was getting to 650 before I was 650, it's like, oh, not so bad. But then it's like, I didn't need the gun. So it's like, why am I even doing this? Why am I doing this to myself? I didn't need it. It's not that great. And then I just wasted, you know, 3 hours doing these 5 steps to get it. Yeah.
this doesn't sound fun at all.
And then the only saving grace, which
there's more.
That saving grace, really. It's like, you know, the other thing that you get is an armor piece every week. So it's like, you know, there's a cool set of armor. It looks cool. That's like it. That is it. It looks cool. That's it. It's not like, oh man, awesome armor, awesome perks, best armor of the game, sweet armor, god roll armor, bro. No. F that crap. It's just armor that looks cool. And it's like, oh, well, neat. One piece a week. Hope I don't get a duplicate next week, but it's Destiny. Oh, so, you already know what's going to happen. It's like, oh, why? Why am I just, yeah. I'm basically done after the next expansion. I'm done after Season of the Drifter, because this was just like it to me. Of like, I'm so over it.
Well, what about Destiny 3, Tekken?
Destiny 3 can go for itself, and there's way more other games out there that are worth playing that I'd rather be playing. Because that's the conclusion RPG of all these years of science that I've done with this game. I'll just call it science because it's really torture. But hey, let's just classy it up a bit here in the podcast. And you know, it's like, what you rather, Tekken? Would you rather? Oh, good saw. What good day? Would you like to sit here for $1,000 on end and grind for loot and be like, oh, that was fun. I quite enjoyed that. Oh,
what did you get? Have an accident?
That was my science professor voice of like, oh, I go and shoot things. I get better things, shoot things and more. Oh, keep getting better things to shoot things and get more things. I quite enjoy it though. It's like,
I've never met a scientist that sounds like this.
Not too bad, but kind of fun. I don't. Oh, what's this rain thing? It's kind of the same thing. You just go and shoot things with 5 people. Kind of fun. Let's go and be a fire team. A raid team, dare I say, because there's 5 of us and we're raiding. Oh, quite a good show. Sirs and Nams, and I enjoy this. This is a very camaraderie experience I can't get anywhere else. Too bad it's stuck behind all this other terribleness, but quite enjoyed. Quite enjoyed. Ho ho, pip pip cheerio. Let's go. And, you know, yeah. It's like, new raid came out, and I had and the raid team carried me through. It was only 5 people, not 6, because you can 5-man it. And it's not really raid. It's more of a raid lair, but, you know, whatever it needs. So I just had no idea what was going on and just was sherped. And it wasn't really that amazing. So I'm kind of like, you know, yeah. I have a waifu now, and I have time that is, like, even more precious and valuable to me, so it doesn't need too much time. I can't do it. I can't do it anymore, man. You blew your chance. It's like, you know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on three. Shame on me. Fool me thrice. I don't know what the third thing is, but they done.
I don't know what the saying is at all.
They done four three times in one expansion. It's like, yeah, that level was too high the first week, and then this week it's like, oh, this puzzle, this isn't fun at all. It's like, who would do this? Oh, and then it's max level. That was pretty evil. Not to be like, oh, you might want to level up dudes or something. Like, you know, it's like, there's a thing called social media Bungie. Like, you can communicate and be like, temper expectations. You know, we are like hyped and frothing at the mouth to like, get the stuff. And then you're just like, whatever, man. And just like, you know, take us into your BDSM warehouse of just torture and just, you know, I'm not gonna do it anymore. So I'm done. Tekken's done. Tekken's done after the season of the Drifter, which is the next season. Because the one after that is called Penumbra, and it's all about redacted and like secrets, puzzle, and cryptic BS. And after this, I was like, you know what? I don't need my life
more.
Like an entire season of that. Pass. Hard pass. All the pass. Get the F out of here. I'm done. So yeah. No thanks. We'll be never seeing you soon again or ever again after that. Bunje. And Destiny to you. Yeah. So have fun riding that train wherever when I'm jumping off of it, because reverse hype train, I'm getting out of here. No thanks, sir.
Thank you. So it sounds like you love it.
There's also some, like, in the interim when we had a break, there was some, like, cutscene with the queen where... Well, I kind of want to spoil it, but I'm not going to spoil it because I don't spoil things, where it's like something happened. And it's like kind of
topical. I really care about the spoilers for that.
Super lame sauce that like they undid something. And it's like, well, they didn't really undo it, but it's like something has happened. And it's like, I don't know. I'm going to see where it goes. Cause it's like, you know, I was early on, I was like kind of hyped for Dreaming City, and then they went nowhere. But then I guess it kept going. I mean, I go there and it's like not really going, but it kind of is. But it's not really enough to be doing every week. So it's like, saw the cutscene, I was like, that could have been cooler. They could have done it, but whatever. It's whatever, dude. I'm over it. I'm done. I'm at peace. I'm at peace again, I should say, because I remember when I used to say that with Destiny. I was like, oh, I'm at peace. But inside, I'm just like, this is fine. Everything's fine, but it's not fine. I just want to. I just want to break things and set things on fire and kill people and, you know, do drugs like we said at the beginning of the podcast. But I can't. It's illegal, so I don't.
Well, not all of them.
And it depends on where you live.
Yeah, I mean, there's ways around things. I mean, disclaimer, kids, don't do drugs. But for last thing I need is somebody who's like, oh, my
kid heard that you said to do drugs on your podcast.
It's like, I don't know what you're talking about. We never condone that.
I just want to go to my safe, happy place where I'm in my ship with my guardian and we're just out there having adventures. But every time I want to do that, it's like, oh, here's a mile of BS to wade through. Have fun, Tekken. Oh, no, Tekken's good. Tekken, the second's done. So besides that, .. So...
Sounds like you loved it.
Shut up, RPG. Completely unrelated note. So there's this thing on Netflix called Bandersnatch. I have myself not played it. I saw the trailer and I was like, that looks neat. Because there was a rumor before that it was like going to be an entire season, but it wasn't an entire season. It was just
not until later this year.
That was sad. But whatever. We're getting more. That's all that matters. Because I'm all about that black crack mirror. Anyway. So, Late Shift. To me, after I saw that, I was like, this is pretty similar to this. And my girlfriend had played or experienced or whatever the F you want to say about Bandersnatch. And I was like, oh, really? .. Well, have I got a surprise for you? And I showed it to her. And then she was playing it. And then, okay, it was funny, actually, because the way we played it was like, I had the controls or the controller. So I was at the helm, navigating the ship, and then she would, like, say her response of, like, what she wanted to do. So, like, we had some times where, like, she'd say something, and I'd pick it, and she's like, wait, no. Another
thing. That's so, too late.
Yeah.
It's already too late.
So it's like, there's some times where, like, I did her first response, even though she's like, wait, no, the other thing. It's like, oh. So it was, like, really funny, like, watching her, like, play through of just, like, her reaction to, like, all the choices of, like, do this, do that. Especially when, or, like, she didn't do that all the time, but she did it, like, a couple times. That was pretty funny. Or then, like, when she, like, react to like something in the game, and then like the character in the thing would be like, say the thing, like that was like his next line, like he would say that, and she's like, oh, that's pretty funny. And then she's like, oh man, this is like way better than Bandersnatch. I was like, yeah, I knew it. So it's like inside, I was like, ha, giving it for the win. We did it. But then I was kind of like, if only people playing Bandersnatch knew about this cool stuff like this. I mean, there's also the Bunker, but I would say Bunker is like more gamey than Late Shift. Late Shift is just like super smooth, where it's just like you do the choices and it's like seamlessly. I think I gave it a golden crosshair for like its mechanic of that. It's just like so good as far as like you do the thing and it just does the thing.
So it was funny. I'm the only one who's played Bandersnatch here. I would say like they're different. Oh, and that's all I can say now.
Very vague.
Because of like there is a thing in Late Shift that's really cool, how seamless it is. Bandersnatch does not do that thing. But
interesting.
Like
still vague.
That's as far as I can really say. Like it doesn't do that thing that Late Shift does.
Oh,
but I really like Bandersnatch. I thought it was quite good.
Did you play through to multiple endings at least?
Yes. So
why did you hesitate? Did you not know if you did, or what was that?
I don't know if I should. So yes, that's all I'll say.
I mean, you don't have to tell me then. Is that just, you know, if you played through multiple endings? Oh my gosh, stop being so so weird, man.
Well. And so, yeah, I can't explain why I'm being weird about that without.
Oh my goodness! Now he can't explain why he's being weird about it.
I'm just gonna say.
Wonderful.
I thought it was quite good. Anyway.
But yeah, there's also two more games by the same developer. I think it's. Oh, I can't remember. I know it's. I think it's 505 is the producer. I could be wrong. Or not producer publisher, but no, it's not 505. It's. Black Isle. No, we're not Black Isle. It's like something, something Isle, Wells something. Wells Interactive, I think, is the developer. They have like two more games that run in the holiday sale, which is still going on, so you can check them out. They have weird names. I don't have them in front of me, but one is about a killer that you're trying to like figure out who did it. And the other one is like you're a psychiatrist that is interviewing patients and something, something. It's weird, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah, the other ones are like not as straightforward as Late Shift is what I'm getting at, and I want to play them. Mm-hmm. I will play them by the time we're recording next time. But, you know, I saw that and I was like, you know, Late Shift is kind of like in that same vein more than like a Telltale game or a Quantic Dream game, just because it's not as involved as far as the mechanics of like you playing a character on screen and being in a air quote game. So that's why I was like, this would be a neat fit to show to someone that has experienced that. And they're kind of more of a parallel than something from Telltale or Quantic Dream. So I'll be looking forward to. Maybe shorter something from Quantum Dream or Telltale. I'd be like, so, which then compared to Twitch, but it's probably not going to go well just because it's more involved. But that being said, if she gets into the choices and the rabbit hole that you fall down,
Like, if you can go through the sort of clunkier, like, actual gamey parts where you're, like, exploring the world, then, yeah. Late Shift is really smooth. It's like easy to get into. You're just making very few choices.
Yeah, I wanted to see if there was a place on the store that had like a section for FMV games, because I was like, maybe it's just FMV games in general. But I was like, no, because I have to have choices and stuff. Because I saw they like had a whole collection of them of three. I was like, oh, and then like separately, they're cheaper than they are in the bundle, so get them separately. Pro tip. So, if you want to save a couple more bucks, just do that. Because what happened was after I showed it to her, she bought it on her own PS4. Cause she also has a PS4. Mm-hmm. And then we're playing it at her house. And then she was telling her brother about it. And she's like, you got to play this. It's even better than Bandersnatch. And then it was funny when he was like going through like towards the end. He was making like so many like bad choices, but on purpose. Because he's like, the cause is lost. And that's like an ending I had not seen. And it was hilarious. And I was like, man, that was a total train wreck at the end, but it was super entertaining. So that was pretty funny.
Was it actually funny, or was it just like because it was a train wreck, it was funny? I've only played through once, and it was a really bad ending.
It was because it was a train wreck. There was parts leading up to it which were actually funny, but then like when he was just like, you know what, F it, and just like started doing all the bad and wrong things, I was like, oh, I'd do that more. And then I was like, oh, because I didn't know like how far it would go. I was like, wow, that was funny. I was like laughing. I was like, that's pretty bad. That was pretty bad. I would not have seen this ending unless I was here right now watching this person play. Because I didn't even know that could happen, but apparently again. So, man, need more games like this. Because I think that was 2 years ago. Yeah, because I said they gave it a Golden Crosshair last year, which means it was out in 2017. But yeah, very much enjoyed that. I'm going to try to see if I can sift through the store to see if I can find any other stuff like it, just because it was a neat experience to play with a significant other.
Those guys are the only ones making games like that.
Oh, too bad. Too bad. Yeah, because okay, moving on to the next game. Because I didn't know what to expect from this one. I only played a bit. I got to, like, one of the air quote bad endings, but it was essentially the tutorial. Mm-hmm. So this was a 428 Wii Scramble. And then I saw that it had elements of FMV-ness in, like, its whole, like, box art and presentation and stuff, but it didn't have a trailer on the store, so I couldn't really get, like, a how's this gameplay. So I went into it expecting something like Light Shift, and that is not what I got. So I was a bit already turned off from that. There was, like, an FMV opening, so that was neat, but then after that, it was kind of just downhill. So, I mean, not necessarily. It's just, like, it wasn't what I was expecting. So I was, like, wanting something, but I got something else. And so essentially, in this game, the whole thing is, like, you're going through, and, like, you come to a choice, and then it affects all the other characters, because you have five protagonists. But the tutorial's kind of slow at the beginning. And, okay, A, that, and then B, there's a lot of text to read, like, a lot. I was, like, not expecting a reading game. I didn't know it was a visual novel, like I said, so going in, I was like, oh, it's just like Light Shift. It's not just like Light Shift. There's a lot of reading. I kind of dozed off at one point, too, so that happened. So yeah. I mean, it was just, man. I mean, I will probably get into it just because of the choices and, like, how they affect everything and, like, have multiple outcomes. But then Tropical kind of covered this, like, in that, I forgot what game it was, but it was, like, the one with, like, the student that writes letters to, like, someone, and they're like, oh, it responds, how many years... What was it called, Tropical?
Root letter?
Yes. Because, like, apparently you're doing things, and then, like, the game will tell you you had a bad ending, but then you can go back and then redo a section to redo that or get a different outcome. So kind of, again, I can see, like, how that could be the case of, like, you getting an ending would be, like, oh, I got an ending, but it wasn't the right ending or the ending I want, and I'm going to go back and, like, do it however many times I need to. But in this one, because you said you can, like, skip through, like, really fast in that one too, right, Tropical?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they make it pretty unobtrusive on skipping all the text and stuff just to get to the choices. So that's a nice saving grace, where you don't, like, just sit there and be like, because that was one of the things my girlfriend mentioned to me, that I was like, yeah, that is kind of a bummer when you're playing Light Shift and you have to go through the entire game. You can't just
every
skip
single
sections.
Time.
Yeah, it's like, let me watch this, like, 90-ish minute movie to, try to get a different ending and try to get a different outcome, see what happens. Just, mess around. And it doesn't work. So it's like, oh, well. Yeah. What else did I play? Besides that, let's see, I played, so besides that, I finally played Beat Saber. So, for the record, we can say at least once, Chadwick was right. It's pretty cool and pretty good. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And then it had my type of music in it, which made it even better. The jams were there. And I was like, And then there's like different movement you can do. Like they there are obstacles at you, and like you have to actually physically dodge them, similar to the Rush of Blood game. So that was pretty cool. Like there's some I think that was like when it first clicked in my brain of like liking this game. It wasn't just like hitting arrows and hitting blocks and blah blah blocks. It does get like harder. You have to like hit the arrows in a certain order, and like they come in different orders and patterns, but then they like start throwing stuff at you as you're doing it to make you have to actually physically move, which is pretty cool. So once I did my like first dodge and like had to like duck or kneel out the way, I was like, oh, and like it's going to like the flow of the music, and it's in rhythm with the music. So that was really cool. I was like, that after that happened, I was like, this is definitely the killer app of PlayStation VR right now for me. Anyway, I would say, because I mean, I haven't played Resident Evil 7. I'm not courageous enough. I'll get there originally.
Did you see Gamer's video that he posted recently?
I saw the video, tried to go, I did not click on it. But I was like, yeah, I don't want to be. I will be afraid myself and jump out of my chair.
The moment that freaked him out was like not a scary moment necessarily. It was just like somebody popped out. It turned out to be a scary person eventually, but, like, not at that moment. So, it was pretty funny. And then it's like, yeah, I don't think I can play this. It looks way... There's a guy I started following on Twitter who's been talking about it, and He's been talking about how Resident Evil 7 basically doesn't have the normal end states. You know, usually it's like, oh no, you got captured and the guy chopped off your arm. And then it's like, you go back and you try again. And this one's like, oh, your arm got chopped off. So now you have to play this part with no arm. And it's like relentless, apparently. And I'm like, why did I get this for VR? I'm not gonna play this. I haven't played Rush of Blood.
Oh, actually, there's a moment when my girlfriend was playing Rush of Blood, and then I heard Zephyr talk about it, so I already knew this was like going to happen. But I was glad I wasn't playing that moment where there's like a spider section, and like they do something like very mean to you with spiders, and then like she had this like super afraid reaction. I was like, I'm glad you're playing, not me, because I knew this was going to happen, because I heard Zephyr talk about it, and now I saw it happen, and I'm like, I don't ever want to play this game, so I might never play that game because I don't like spiders.
I'm going to have to get my neighbors to play it for me so I can watch everything.
Yeah, through that, I was like, you know what, PlayStation VR, there's hope for you yet. I wasn't sure. I thought this might be, you know, here today, gone the next situation, but, oh no, there's... I played some of Borderlands 2 because she got that bundle, but I did not really enjoy it as much as using a DualShock, and it was weird because, like, you can't really jump, because I was like... Well, she didn't know, like, the controls, and I was, like, asking, like, how do you jump and stuff, and then she didn't really know, so I was like, eh. So I didn't actually get to, like, go through a tutorial or anything to, like, figure all the things out, but it was... I'd played it already. I guess that's the other thing, is I already played through that game with DualShock, and it's, like, playing it in VR is just... It's just a visual change. It's not really a gameplay change, so it's, like, eh. Didn't really do it for me, so... I guess... Go ahead.
So, you saw trailers and footage of Beat Saber before you played it, right?
Yeah.
It's weird, because the trailers, when you watch the game, it doesn't look like, it just looks like, oh, you're just going to be hitting blocks, and that's kind of it, and it doesn't seem that exciting. It's when you actually play it, I don't know for me if it was, like, moving my body to dodge certain parts, but, like, at some point, it does feel like, this kind of feels like you're dancing, probably, you know, helps with the illusion since you can't see yourself because you're in VR, but, like, it feels like dance almost.
It's actually funny you said that, John, because when I was watching my girlfriend play, like, she would do some of the, like, patterns for, like, the three block ones where it's, like, alternating or just, like, three in a row or whatever. She waved the move controller in, like, a weird way, or it looked weird to me anyway, like, when she did it. But, like, since she was, like, doing that and, like, moving at the same time, it kind of did, like, she was, like, doing some, like, sort of dance. It was, like, really weird to me. I was like, this looks like a dancing game that you're playing in front of me, but I did not think this was a dancing game.
Yeah. It's really strange, but, like, eventually, like, there are parts, and especially on the higher difficulties, when you have to, like, move very quickly, like, it feels like you're dancing. And it's just like, this is a weird idea that somehow worked. I mean, I thought this was sort of like, oh, they saw Thumper, and they're like, that was super popular. And lightsabers are something that everyone's asking for in VR, so let's combine them. But then, no, it feels like so much more than that. It's very strange.
Actually, like, playing that and then playing Borderlands, it's like, I think the built from ground up specifically for this is better than stuff that is, like... I mean, that being said, Resident Evil 2 or 7 is, like, kind of, like, a weird example, too, because it's like, well, you can play it either way. But VR, it might be... Well, I haven't played it, but it's like, I can see why it would, like, make it better, just because it's like the whole
you can't escape. Face.
And, like, you can't. You can go with your eyes. But, you know, you have fun trying to not be terrible playing with your eyes closed. And just like that, it's just like, it is that much more intense when it's like right upon your face versus like sitting on the couch or something. Like, kind of like the PC gaming analogy, as far as, like, you know, you're not sitting that far away when you're super close to the monitor. But yeah, that was a fun time. Tropical's right.
Nice.
And I enjoyed it.
That's right.
Did I play anything else besides that? Oh, wait, no, I already talked about the Spirit Scramble thing. Spirit Scramble, Destiny, Beat Saber. Because when there's like a fourth game.
Late Shift.
Oh, yes, that would be a fourth game. I can count. Or I can't. And the Tropical's like, oh, that is the fourth game. Oh. I've just been doing the same thing in Grand Turismo, where it's like, you know, slowly getting the cars every day. And it was cool because they gave me my birthday gift card, which I completely forgot. So that was cool when I like logged in the other day and it was past my birthday and I was like, oh, I got a car for my birthday. That was sweet. I mean, it wasn't a literal car, but it's like, you know, better than nothing. Because I logged into Destiny, I was like, sad face. They didn't give me anything. I tweeted it out. My place measure was empty. And then Gretchen was like, we've got you taken. We've got you. So I thought that was cool. Yeah, that is all I've been playing.
Cool. Well,
RPG's back. Yeah.
I'll be brief on Destiny, because I did play that too. I finally got to the Dreaming City. At one point, I was just like, I'm just going to buckle down and do this thing. So, but I don't want to, you know, figure out which of these lost sectors is which one. So I'm just going to look up a guide. And I was like, oh, they're marked on the map. Okay. So it's this one, and this one. And I went to each of them. And then I think I basically did like one step a day. I didn't feel like just like powering through all of them. So I did that, and then the next part was like fight Taken or something, and I was like, oh, I'll just play Gambit because there's always Taken in there, and then played that, and it went by pretty quickly on the next day. And then I forget the rest of the steps. There was a bunch of steps, and so I did one a day, and then finally at the end, it's like, oh yay, now I'm here. It's like, oh, there's an actual mission, and you play through a thing, and then yeah, I'm there, and it's like, great, now what? I guess I'm happy that they're having mercy on anyone below 600 since there's been a new expansion. And
how was that tropical? Because like it said that you should be like leveling up like super fast now. Is that what happened?
I guess like the thing is my experience with Forsaken has been tainted because of the weirdness where I was getting, you know, light level or power level one number below what I was. And so for like 2 weeks, I made no progress. And then after that, they fixed it. And when they fixed it, they also like increased the speed that you level up at. But by then I had realized how much progress I didn't make. And so I was sort of down on the game and I didn't really play it that much. So yeah, I missed it. I missed a few weeks and then I wasn't really paying attention to what day of the week it was. So I was like, I started playing again on Monday and I was like, okay, I remember what I was doing. So I got to do all these like weekly challenges and like finish a certain number of Crucible and stuff. And then, so I'll do all that tomorrow. And then I went on tomorrow. I was like, what's happening? He's like, oh, right. Reset. And I was like, okay. So that didn't help me at all. But yeah, it seems like, let's see, I think I was 540 and now I'm like 555 and that's like 2 or 3 days, so
it, wow,
it right, must be a lot faster. Insane. I'm not at 600 yet. No, I jumped like 15 or so power level though in just the past few days, because you're also supposed to be getting more prime engrams now if you're below 600.
That's what they said.
So I've seen one, I guess, that I didn't expect to see, so I was like, okay, that's something. But yeah, it's Destiny, I suppose. I would like to see the new content, like the raids and stuff, at some point. But I don't know how hard I want to work to get to that point, because it's gonna take some effort. I'm quite far, and then you know, like if you're not in a regular group, then you gotta go find a group, or you know, hope that someone is not gonna be playing at some point. So yeah, lots to figure out in the interim, and I'm not even 600 yet, so oh, but it was funny. Yeah, when I got to the Dreaming City and then I went back to orbit and looked, and I was like, oh, so that's where the raid is. It was not even on my destination map until now.
Did you play any Iron Banner or you were that low tropical?
I did
match with people at the same level?
No. Like, oh, it's really random. Ouch. So you match with, like, people who are really high. But the thing is, like, throughout all of Destiny, I've played a lot of Iron Banner as a really low-level character. And, you know, I've just, like, figured out the strategy of doing that. Mostly involves running away, like, towards my teammates. And, like, you know, contributing where I can. So, like, I'll throw a grenade and then and then run, because they will kill you very fast. The other thing is just, like, engaging from really long distance. Because, yeah, a lot of people just aren't good shots in Destiny, I guess. And so with the bow, and it doesn't, like, it doesn't add that much more time to kill. I mean, I guess it does. Usually it's like two shots to the head, and then if they're really high level beyond you, then it's like three. So it's not like a huge difference, because usually even when it's two shots, the first shot does almost all of their health, and then they're still alive by a little bit. So the second shot, you know, should be the same amount. And so when it's three shots, it really is like two shots take off almost everything, and then the third, you still need like one more shot, which is a lot more time, especially if they're shooting at you. But if you're like really far away from them, I don't know, I've just been, maybe I'm very lucky, and it's just like, they're just really bad at hitting me, and I just need to hit them three times, and so it works out. But yeah, I've throughout Destiny, I've played lots of low-level Iron Banner with people. It used to be easier because, like, grenades were super powerful in Destiny 1, and you could just, like, you could play a Batman style. You start shooting at them, they turn around, they start shooting at you, and then you do, like, a cool jump out of the way and, like, sticky grenade them, and they die. It was really fun. Yeah, so that's my Destiny stuff for now. I played, so early in the break, I decided like to play through some of my VR stuff, and I started playing again a game called Mortal Blitz, which is essentially VR Time Crisis. I was like, okay, I'm gonna finish this game. Turns out I was on the second to last level because the game is really short. So I finished the campaign, and it was like, oh, this was episode one, and we're planning on adding more stuff. So, you know, stay tuned. And that was probably a few years ago, and nothing has changed. So that's, after playing through it, I was actually pretty disappointed. It was like, this was actually really cool. The time crisis part sort of is like, you move your actual body to dodge behind barriers. So in time crisis, like you lift your foot or you put your foot down to get on the, to get into cover and reload. And this one is like, you know, the move controllers have tons of buttons, so reload is one of them. But dodging is just like, you just dodge. But they have a mechanic called, I think it's called groggy, I don't remember what it's called, but like eventually, or you shoot the bad guys and eventually they get groggy, I guess. Like they go into sort of a stunned state, and then you can use your like telekinetic ability to sort of lift them into the air, and then everything goes into slow motion, and you just have, I think it's mostly to rack up points, but it also restores your health when you do this. So you like blast them into the air, everything's in slow motion, and then you shoot the guy, and the more you shoot him, like the more health pickups drop out of him, and you get more points too. And then, so it's sort of like this is how like you balance out having to fight all these guys, and, you know, doing this maneuver gets you more health, and then it's like, it's pretty clever, all the game systems, the way they work together. And I was like, yeah, this is really fun. Like, this was basically like Time Crisis with monsters in VR. It was so cool. And so I finished the campaign, and I was like, well, there's no more. So I guess I'll keep trying it on harder and harder difficulties. And so now I'm on the final difficulty, and I haven't been able to get past the first level yet, unfortunately, because you just take a lot more damage, and they have much higher health now. But the other mode in that is there's like a target practice mode, and I think that's the one, it's like a training room, and that's the one that you have to beat to unlock more guns, I guess? Or I assume, because I haven't been able to get through all of it. The first, there's 50 levels, and the first 29 levels were all pretty easy. You're just like in this room that's kind of like the holodeck in Star Trek, except it's a blue grid instead of a yellow one, and these
important detail.
These like spheres appear. Spheres appear, and you gotta shoot them, and then they like add more and more mechanics. So eventually, there's like larger spheres that when you shoot them, they break apart into smaller spheres, and then The red ones only take one shot, but like the yellow ones have to take, they take several shots. And there's like, you get to level 30 and you just hit a brick wall. Like it's every 10 levels is a special stage where if any of the spheres touch the ground, like they're just like bouncing around in the room. If they hit the ground though, then you lose time on your timer. And you only have a certain amount of time for each stage to destroy all the spheres. And man, level 30, I must have played it 50, 60 times in a row. I just could not get it. It took so many tries. Eventually did get it, but it was just luck. Like I could not figure out a strategy that would work. And I was like, okay, you know, I just gotta aim better. I gotta shoot better. Every shot has to count. And yeah, somehow in the end it just worked out. I was like, never doing that again, but 20 levels to go. I hope there's no more. I hope I don't hit any other walls. Yeah, like
you did hit walls.
I have not yet. After level 30, I played a few more levels, and then my arms were just really tired because those 50, 60 tries were basically back to back to back to back to back. I had when I finally cleared it, I share buttoned it, and my that PlayStation is set to 60 minute clips. And I went back to the clip and like the entire hour was me trying to beat this one level. It was really crazy. But yeah, that is a pretty good VR game. It looks not that great. I mean, the graphics are actually pretty decent, but if you see footage of it on YouTube or whatever, it looks really bad. It looks much better inside of the headset. And yeah, I think it was pretty cheap, and it was like pretty interesting, pretty fun. I liked it a lot. I do hope they make more, but I don't know if that's gonna happen. I guess what I played most of during the break was Smash Brothers, because it came out, and you know, all throughout the like hype. The hype season for this game, it was like, oh, you know, there's all these characters and all this fan service, essentially, like for the biggest here. Crossover.
Waluigi.
Yeah, it's so cool. It's like, yes, I want to see those characters. You know, I want to play as Inkling and I want to play as Simon Belmont. This is gonna be so awesome. And you start the game, it's like, well, you have 8 characters. In the beginning, they only give you the original 8 characters from Smash Brothers on the. I guess it was.
Wait, you don't even get like the melee characters 64? Or anything?
No, in the beginning it's just 8 characters. Or
was it
7 characters? I don't remember. It's just like a very small number of characters at the beginning. And you're just like, well, I guess it begins. And when I started, I was like, I have no idea how to unlock characters. I mean, I assume it's just like other fighting games pre microtransaction era. And it's just like you play it and sometimes they appear and you fight them and then if you win, then you get them.
That's a weird setup.
It's mostly true. Apparently, like after I got a few, submission. I was like, okay, this is going to take forever. There are, what, 70 characters in this game and you start with 8? So, okay, how am I supposed to do this? And I found out, like, if you play World of Light, which is sort of the adventure mode, which is pretty cool. You can unlock characters that way. Like, you go around, and there was that sort of Infinity War-style cinematic trailer for it where everyone died except Kirby. And then Kirby, like, has to go around and save everyone. So every time you save someone, like, they join your roster.
Oh.
And...
Oh, I think it was similar in Brawl with their story mode, like you can basically unlock everybody from the story mode. I doubt it's like that in this one because there's like 6 million characters, but
well, at first I was like, okay, I'll do it this way, but it turns out like it's not that easy. Some of the levels were really hard, and they have sort of this like spirit support system where spirits level up and all this stuff. So if you're lazy like me and you're not managing any of that, then it's just like the battles can be very, very difficult. And I'm not that skilled a Smash Brothers player, so I get stuck often. And I was like, okay, so how else can I do this? And apparently in Versus, every 10 minutes in game, the timer resets and a new character appears for you to fight. I was like, well, that would be great if I had other people to play with nearby. Because, you know, you've seen Smash parties, like, they just go on for hours and hours and people just keep playing over and over and over again. And that seems to be a good way to unlock characters, except I don't have that situation anymore. That's more like a college dorm situation. So in the end, I discovered there is like a classic mode, which is basically like the classic arcade mode where you pick a character, you go through a series of fights, you fight a boss, and then at the end, a new challenger appears and you fight him and then you unlock him that way. And so I eventually played through, I think I've played through classic mode with almost every single character to unlock every other character. Eventually, I did do it. It was weeks. I was like, oh, you know, I want to play other things, but I really want all these other characters too. And it was really funny because once I had all the characters, I was kind of like, well, I'm done. I have finished this game.
Smash Brothers is over now.
I haven't finished World of Light, but it was kind of cool. Like it, I was very motivated to play Smash Brothers when I didn't have all the characters. But then once I got all of them, I was like, well, you know, there's still World of Light. I haven't played through all that yet. But I have not had the desire to return to it. So, yeah. I don't know what that says. It's just weird.
Have you tried the online mode?
I have not. I do have Nintendo Online, but I've mostly played only the NES Classic games on there. I have not. Oh. Or my daughter plays Splatoon 2 online, but I have not played Smash.
And I guess you would have more incentive to go back to it if you had like people to play with, I guess. Because I mean, part of the draw of Smash Brothers is, you know, playing with people for multiplayer kind of thing.
Probably true.
I mean, you did say you still have other modes to play through, so there's that as well. But yeah, it's kind of weird to not.
I mean,
to kind of just have unlock everybody and then be like, well, I think I'm good.
Like it. I guess that was my goal, you know, and then I didn't really have the goal of completing the game because I was thinking of it as a fighting game. But then, yeah, so I guess occasionally I can be motivated to play a game when even in spite of having tons of other games that I want to play. But, yeah, I guess it just joins my backlog now while I go play other stuff.
Oh, no.
Someday, Smash Brothers. Someday. And, well, I guess a lot of my neighbors got Switches recently during the break as well, and a bunch of them got Smash.
Did you force them to?
I did not. This was not on me. I only sell PlayStations to people.
I believe you. I don't know if I believe you.
People want Switches. They're very desirable right now.
Tropical's always like, so I basically coerced these people into buying a bunch of stuff the other day.
Only PlayStations. Yeah, so speaking of that, I played through all of the Spider-Man DLC. It was super cool. It was really neat because it felt like, after playing through it, all the story mode stuff, it was like, it felt like someone at Insomniac had sort of, when they, remember Arkham Knight had the Season of Infamy, was that what it was called?
Yeah.
Remember, like, when we heard the name of it, we thought, oh, this could be really cool because, you know, like, Batman is in Gotham, and they've made Gotham, and it would be really neat that they could just continue to build on this game like it was a season of the series. You know, they would just, like, add another short story. It's sort of like the Mr. Freeze thing from Arkham Origins. Like, that was really cool. Well, what we got was not that. But it does feel like someone at Insomniac, or like the people in charge of making these decisions, they also thought Season of Infamy was going to be that, and then it wasn't. And so when it came time for them to make Spider-Man DLC, they're like, we're going to do that. We're going to make a Season of Spider-Man as our Season Pass DLC. And because that's what it feels like. It feels like you played through really, you know, a pretty story-wise, pretty significant addition to the base Spider-Man PS4 game. Like, major... It feels like with other DLC, even story DLC, it doesn't really... It's sort of, for example, like Left Behind for The Last of Us, it doesn't add anything to the story as far as progressing it. It just, like, sort of fills in backstory for characters. And a lot of times, story DLC seems to fill in backstory rather than move the story forward. But the Spider-Man City That Never Sleeps actually moves the story on past the end of the main campaign. And, you know, significant stuff happens to some of those characters. And I was like, this is cool. Like, this is the stuff you would think would be in a sequel. But no, it's available for the base game. So I thought that was really nice. Have you played it, Tekken?
I played the first one with Black Cat.
Okay.
But I do have the other two.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten to play them.
It's cool. Stuff happens.
It tends to do.
For some reason, it was very surprising to me that stuff happens. I really like they just added sort of more of everything as well. It's not just more story
stuff. It's actually kind of weird, though, because I saw Spider-Verse, and now I'm kind of wishing that they would have added that to the game, too.
That would have been awesome.
Like, all those playable characters, that would have been pretty cool.
Oh, my gosh. Spider-Verse was so good. I saw it twice. I haven't done that in a while. Yeah, so I have basically 100%ed everything in Spider-Man except for New Game Plus, which I'm going to start eventually on the highest difficulty. Like, I started it on the highest difficulty, New Game Plus, and it was really easy. I was like, this is probably because I have all the gadgets now, and I sort of understand how to use them.
Abilities and stuff.
Yeah, and I have, like, more health. Like, you start with less health, and Spider-Man, like, can't take many hits at all in the game, like, no matter the difficulty. But, yeah, the first time I played it was not on the normal difficulty. It was on the highest difficulty. And then they added a even higher difficulty beyond that in a later patch with the New Game Plus. So now it's like, okay, challenge accepted. And then I was like, oh, right, I should play the DLC. And then I played the DLC, and there's no level cap. So every time you level up after 50, you get more, like, punch damage. So after I played through the DLC, I was like, oh, you know what? I should start New Game Plus over again from after the DLC. So I have all of the progress I made through that. And so for Spider-Man PS4, which it's like not a good game for me. it's too fun that even though I've completed it, I want to play through it again. But then, you know, I have all this other stuff that I need to play. So good.
It was really weird for me because it was like the counter to God of War, where it was like nice and fun, whimsical, fun times versus like the whole just like I'm Kratos and I have my son and we're going through all this stuff and just like.
I mean, in all fairness, Peter doesn't have a child. He has time to be whimsical and not worry about God trying to murder him and his child.
It was just so weird. It was like totally tonally different, but similar, but like way different. And just like I was just surprised that I like gravitated more towards Spider-Man because I usually go towards the dark and black stuff. So yeah,
there's serious stuff in Spider-Man, but it was a lot more fun though.
Those were too. I didn't expect the parts where it got serious in Spider-Man, and I was like, oh, of course it couldn't just be a nice, fun ride through New York City. Could it be? Nope. Could it have been?
For a long time, like, Spider-Man was my favorite, and then at some point in my life, that changed. Like, I came to the realization that everything in Spider-Man is, like, tragedy. It's like everything is built on tragedy. It's like that scene in Spider-Verse where it's like, oh, for me it was my uncle.
Oh yeah.
It was my uncle. And it was like, damn y'all. So yeah. It's just like it's always bad. And like that was like the twist ending of the first Raimi movie, right? It was like, oh, he could have ended up with Mary Jane, and he's like, no, I can't. And it was his choice. And I was like, And like the first time I was like, oh, that's so cool. But then later I was like, everything in Spider-Man is like tragic. It's always his friends that like turn into villains or die or whatever.
I mean, that's how you get the most heartbreak out of it though.
Yeah.
Cause it's like, LOLs, your life is a mess. But bright side, you have superpowers that you can use to beat the crap out of your friends. So enjoy. Enjoy your tragic life.
That's kind of why I like the thing I like the most about the Netflix villains is like they will like this, they like have these like entire sections of like explaining of like what tragically messed up this villain.
Yeah. The who hurt you segment.
Yeah. Because like when you do the king, you're like with the king thing, I was like, oh my gosh, just like kick him. It's like that was so like I did not see that coming. And just like, man, this guy is messed up. And I could see why and why he would turn out like this. But he wasn't a hero like the hero. He's the villain because that's just how it made him and that's how it affected him. And now he's like this forever. Oh, just like, oh man, get you right there. Just like, oh, got me right there in my heart. Just like, oh, I feel for you, Fisk. I feel for you. I root for him, but at the same time, it's like, man, he's such a good villain. Just, oh, what a guy.
I don't think you're supposed to root for him.
I mean, the way he talks is so great. He's just like, you know, He just like there's the charisma about him. Just like, man,
second. Next, I played a bit of Astrobot Rescue Mission, which very surprisingly was on a lot of people's like game of the year lists. The description that like most piqued my interest was someone said that it's basically a Nintendo game, but for PlayStation.
What?
It's like the most Nintendo game not made by Nintendo. And I thought, well, that's interesting. I'm not really sure what that means, but that's interesting. And so I had it. I was like, okay, I'm going to try it. And it's a VR platformer. And, you know, that's not exactly a new thing. But actually playing it, it's like, it's really cool. Like, did you play Playroom VR?
Nope.
It's the same character, and there was actually a mode where they had a really short platforming adventure with the character. And, you know, sort of like what I was talking about with VR Worlds, where there was, like, each one felt like sort of a tech demo for possibly a future complete game. That's what Astrobot is, but they expanded it out in every direction. I thought it was going to be sort of a short 3D platformer in VR. And it turns out it's like Mario 64. It's like this giant 3D platformer where you have to go through. And, you know, it's all the really typical stuff of this genre, except that you're in VR. And so because you're in VR, they can do really cool things and different effects. Like the mission that has been my favorite so far was you go underwater. I love water. It's hard to describe. VR stuff, still hard to describe. It's just like, I don't know what it is, you know, it's totally immersive, and you have to do things like crane your head and look around different places because, you know, you're looking for the other astrobots to rescue, and I don't know, it all just works really well, and I haven't gotten that far, so I'm not really sure if I can see why people are saying, oh, this is game of the year. But everything is just so charming, and it looks really good, and there's all these sort of clever little mechanics that they came up with. Like, you have a physical presence in the world. You are some sort of, like, hovering robot thing with a VR headset in the world.
Oh, man, that's cool. You just made me think of an idea for a game. I gotta write this down.
Okay.
Secrets.
And your controller, like you can see it in the world, and it gets different abilities depending on the level. You can launch like grappling hooks and like ninja stars apparently at some point, and
what?
And like you ninja can stars? Use it as a water gun, and there's just like all these things that you do, and it works really well. It's fairly comfortable to play, I think, and then. As VR games go, and yeah, there's just like all these different things, and this is the scatterbrain. Like, I was afraid this would happen. I don't know how to describe it, but it's just like, it's really fun.
He's scatterbraining.
Also, for some reason, I'm hungry. I just ate too.
For some reason, Jonicle.
I don't know.
Because it doesn't just, like, you know, happen when you're a human or like any creature that's biological or an organic creature that needs sustenance.
I ate before this. I don't know why I'm hungry. Anyway, so I'm just going to move on to the final one. Tekken, you should check out Astrobot. The last game I played was, there was an event, and I don't even know this person who set it up, but she was like, oh, she wanted to have Discover Indies trend on Twitter. And so she came up with this thing where every Friday she wants people to go out, browse, you know, the digital store of your choice, find an indie game that you've never heard of, buy it and play it, and then like post with the hashtag and talk about it. And I was like, okay, this sounds like a cool thing. So I went onto the PSN and, you know, we do RRR and we do all these things. So we've heard of a lot of games. So it took a while to find something that I had never heard of. And eventually I stumbled upon something called The Cat and the Coup, published by USC Games. So this is that program that that game company's founders came out of. One of the first game programs in the country. And I was like, okay, this is it. Luckily it's cheap. It's like $2. And so I played it and finished it in one sitting, because not because I was like super engrossed, but because the game was like 15 minutes long.
Oh dear.
It was very short, and it has a very strange art style. Although possibly the art style is really meaningful. But yeah, so mechanically,
why is it strange?
It's just like, it looks like the art that you would see in an art history textbook from many different eras and just like sort of all patchwork together. That's probably not true. Like, one of the things I'll say about the game is the visuals probably mean a lot of stuff and are significant in some way, but I don't have the background to understand any of that. Like, basically, so in the game you play as a black cat and you find yourself in these rooms with a guy, older looking guy, and you figure out what to do in the room, and then you do it and you break out of the room and you go to the next room. And there was something like four or five rooms. It's very short. I guess it's a puzzle game, essentially.
Sounds like an escape game to me.
Kind of, maybe. Well, so after I played through it, I was like, okay, you know, I think like the visuals are significant in some way and the words are significant in some way. But since I don't have the background in like history or art or whatever, like it just was all over the top of my head. I don't know what I just played. And I went back and looked, and apparently the game is about how the CIA, like, basically ended democracy in Iran in the 1950s. Like, oh, so it's a metaphor? Like, you're the, so the guy is the, you know, former prime minister of Iran, and you as the cat are the CIA, and you're making the stuff happen to him?
That seems right.
I don't know. I think that's what it is. Like, that's what I'm going with right now in my head, but it feels, so, you know, the visuals feel like, oh, so these are maybe, you know, art from the region. And, you know, there are some parts that are more obvious than others. Like, there's a scene where it says that the guy surrendered by phone 24 hours after fleeing from a mob. And then, like, you see sort of this shadowy mob pushing against the door, and the guy is just, like, sitting there, you know, like, oh no, what do I do? And there's a phone near him, and then there's, like, a puzzle, and you have to figure out how to, like, get a, open the room so that you can move on to the next part. It was very weird.
You don't say.
I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. It feels like I'm doing everything very haphazardly, and there's probably meaning in this stuff, but I don't know what it is. So I guess I would just enjoy the ride, and it wasn't very long, so I'll probably come back to it at some point, hopefully, or maybe, you know, find a dissertation that someone has written on it or something. It's like, help me understand what I just played through. And
that sounds like an aimless segment. Help me understand what I played through.
You're buying really obtuse.
Help me. What I just played. Understand what I just played through.
Find really obtuse stuff to play through and then be like, okay, what was that? Somebody tell me.
Explain.
Please.
It's like, well, if your knowledge of ancient Greek mythology is up to date, then...
yeah.
Oh my gosh, I just have another segment. It's like same thing, but it's like aimless explains. I mean, this is more of a Tekken segment. You talk about your Tekken knees. It's just like, you know, you just do the basics of like the game. It's like, you're Spider-Man, you're a dude in a suit, New York City, swing it through, save the day, stuff happens, happy times, that's
things
it.
Go down.
It's like, boom. And things stuff. Go down, but not too down, because you save it, because you're Spider-Man, boom. That's the game. Boom. It's awesome.
Boom.
Just like that.
Boom.
Just like that.
Whereas like Disney, boy. I would just do like the whole bit I did earlier about like, you know, shoot the thing, get the thing, shoot the thing, get more thing, shoot the thing, get more thing. In space, you're a guardian, you got a ship, you're on planets, aliens, you shoot them too, they give you guns too, to shoot them more and get things. Boom. There you go.
Exactly.
Disney.
Boom. Well, anyways, I guess the last thing, so I did play this a little bit, but just a question off the top of my head, or just that I've been wondering, and, you know, since it's aimless, we're going to take a tangent real quickly. Do you think anyone has gotten all the Street Fighter V characters through just fight money?
Ooh, no, I don't.
I think it's impossible, but I'm not sure.
I actually played that game. It would have been my most been playing, but it's like it kind of angered me because I thought I had more fight money than I had, and I spent it. And like now I'm at a point where I've never been in that game where like I need to grind to get to where I can get one more thing if I want to get one more thing. But it's like I'm so close. I'm at like 98,000 or something, and you need 100,000. It's just like, dude, it's not really that bad because I can like see myself getting there. But it's like I play it. I'm like I surprised I'm playing this game, and it's like I think I'm done with this one too. So. Peace out, Street Fighter. It was fun. I got Kage, and it was fun doing Raging Demon on people again. But, you know, that game still needs work.
As far I think, as like, they need an economist. I think the economy is broken because, like, you should...
Money for win.
Yeah, you should be able to feel like... You should be able to estimate in your head the trade-off of time and money.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, you know, $8, is that worth grinding for 10 hours or something like that? But this, like, Street Fighter is like, I have no idea how long I need to grind, but it costs $20 to not do any of it. It's like, I don't know if that's worth it, because you can't make the comparison.
See, it's like, I don't think anybody has, but, like, if they have, they're probably, like, the top 1% players in the world. They're, like, already good at the game because they, like, win a lot. And it's like, whatever, dude, I got so many wins. Because I was looking at the trophies, and it's, like, 300 ranked or, like, 300 wins online or something. It's like, if those are all ranked matches, that's 1,500, 15,000, whatever one of the two. And it's like, that's not even enough to get a character.
Yeah.
That's not a lot. That's a lot of playing and not a lot of getting stuff for free with your fight buddy. So, broken economy. Probably not.
Like, yeah, I think they need to fix their economy. It's just, it's really broken. Anyways, back from the tangent, that's what I've been playing. Cat in the Coup. It was $2. If you want to check out a weird 15-minute game as well, or possibly a brilliant 15-minute game if you're a genius and you have the right background.
And have various masters in history. And,
yeah.
You know.
Like, if you know 1950s Iranian politics and all that, then you might be like, oh, this is so clever. But I did not. And I was like, I imagine it's more clever than I think, but, you know, this is on me. I don't know what just happened, because I don't know. So, yeah. RPG. What have you been playing?
Everything.
Oh, but also only like three games. So.
There is a game called Everything.
But, so I played Monster Hunter World because they were having their various events going on, and then they had the Arch Tempered, what's her face called? The giant gold lady person.
Oh, Val Kovtaroth.
Kuvala.
Whatever.
Kuvavuv Kliko.
It's cool. There's a golden lady?
I mean,
I've been away from this for too long.
I mean, at this point, the siege one, that one.
I was lucky every day for the winner event. I just didn't actually play, so I got a bunch of tickets to like get stuff, but I haven't redeemed them.
Well, they're supposed to be doing a customer appreciation event this month. So
I'm a customer.
Are. So that's going to be happening soon. So there was the Arch Tempered Kuv event where it's like, it's that siege one where the 16 people do the thing. So that's the thing. And so with that, she has a new Fury mode. And if you activate it during the quest or whatever, then you get the opportunity to get, and if you beat her during this, you get the opportunity to get more of the incandescent weapons, which are like the new additions to her rewards. And they're supposed to be like basically like souped up versions of the previous wonderful gold weapons from the previous siege. So the more you play or whatever, obviously you get better chances of getting these things. And if you complete the siege all in one go, you also get more chances, or you get more incandescent rewards as well. So it's a lot of rewards going on, basically. So I played that. I got a few weapons that I wanted, so that was good. I haven't actually used anything beyond that. After that, I was just like, okay, I think I'm good for now, because I got what I needed, so I can just wait for whatever future event happens. Because I mean, of course, they're gonna have their expansion later on this year, and then
it's so far away.
It is really far away.
When they showed that video and I saw the date, I was like, dude, this is the year, dude. Why can't it be like in a month? This is like almost a year away.
It's true, because at first I got excited, and then they were like, LOL, falls of 2019. I was like, oh, that's like almost a year from now.
Yep.
So thank you, I guess, Capcom, which is fine, but it's like, it's supposed to be a major expansion. So, I mean, I guess in place of a sequel, then we're going to be getting that with the new monsters, the new weapons and armor and all the new locales and stuff like that. So that's going to be cool, at least. So I am excited about that happening. But yeah, that's pretty much the majority of Monster Hunter World, was just doing the siege and having people, you know, jumping in and out and trying to cheat the system so they can get the weapons and then run away. Because, you know, that's how people do it. They wait until the last phase and they're like, oh, LOLs, now I could do my final run and then get the most rewards, because all I have to do is finish it all in one go and get the highest reward multiplier. And then that's what they were doing. So people kept on like jumping in and out of rooms, and then they'd wait until like they get to like the level 6 pursuit level. So that way you can already know where it is and everything. And it's just like, people are garbage. People are garbage. Way to be garbage, people. Way to be garbage. So there was that. But other than that, I started playing the PSN game thingy whose name I already forgot. Fallen Legion. There we go. Now, that game I was actually interested in when it had first got released, but then I ended up not buying it once I found out they were doing like that whole split versions of it. So there's like one that came out for the PS4, which is just the regular Fallen Legion, and then there's the one that came out for the Vita, that's the Flames of Rebellion, which is supposed to tell like the two sides of the overall story that's going on. So I think Flames of Rebellion is supposed to tell it from the semi-villain side or something like that, because the main game tells it from like the princess's side of the of the story. I think the Switch actually has both versions as one game. So if and when I do get my Switch, I'll probably just get that and make it easier on myself instead of trying to do this the hard way.
Wait, which one do we get with Plus? Was it which one do we get with
the
Plus?
The Vita one, the Flames of Rebellion. The second story, not the main game. So I do eventually want to get the main game, but like I said, since the Switch already has the version that has the whole thing, I don't want to like waste my money and then, you know, I could just be like, well, I could just get the complete version because that's how it should have been released in the first place. But it's cool because this is the era we live in now. But so basically the game plays kind of similarly to it's like semi-similar to Valkyrie Profile in the sense that the characters are actually, no, there has to be a game that's more closely aligned. Maybe the Ark Tenelico games, because I think they're set up similarly. Maybe Exist Archive, but that was very much like Valkyrie Profile too. It doesn't matter. Anyway, the characters are basically your characters are mapped to the face buttons. You start off with like a lancer and then a gunner, and then like the main character of the story himself is like a mage or whatever. So each of them has like a button that they're assigned to. X is the lancer, square, is it squares? I think square is the gunner, and then triangle is the mage guy, but he can switch between spells. With the directional pad, one resurrects people, one drops like a spark bomb thing, and the bottom one like does like a regen health thing. But so the idea is to kind of like create these combos using the characters, because they have like a certain number, they have like AP that governs how often you can press the buttons for them, and it recharges over time. So the idea is to kind of like create these combos with the characters so that way you can like break through the enemy's shields and all this other stuff to win in the battle system. And you can also block and do all this other stuff in order to kind of like boost your abilities and do like perfect blocks to do like counterattacks and all this other stuff. So there's stuff going on. And I didn't play like a lot of it because I was doing other things at the time. So I was just like, oh, let me just download this and start it up so at least I can kind of get through the tutorial stuff. So then that way, once I actually start playing, I can just kind of, you know, just play instead of having to be like, oh, press this button to do this, learn how to do this. And it's like, I don't want to do that. So I'm just doing that. So far, I mean, I do like the battle system because, like I said, it's similar to some of the other games I've played that have similar battle systems to that, and I enjoy those. So it does have like a strategic aspect, but it's still like active. So you're not just kind of waiting around for things to go down and whatnot. So it does keep you kind of actively paying attention to everything that's going on in the battle and still kind of, you know, managing your resources properly so that way you don't get deaded and stuff. So there's that. But more on that once I play more of it. So other than that, I've been playing Valkyria Chronicles 4. Now, a majority of my time spent in that game has been just like kind of power leveling my classes and everything. So I got everybody up to elite levels or elite status or whatever for now. So they all have whatever extra perks and weapons that they usually get that usually comes with that turnover and whatnot. So far, I'm kind of in like a weird place with this game because it's like mechanically I love the game. Like, I mean, with Valkyria Chronicles, I always enjoy the battle system and, you know, playing everything. And then with their new additions to the battle systems to create like your little mini squads on the field with the command system, and then adding like these new challenges and obstacles and stuff during the battles and everything. It's like, it's cool. And it's a fun little turn-based strategy game. However, I'm not like connecting with the main cast. So I like playing the game, but I'm kind of at a place where I'm like, I don't really care what happens to the characters, which isn't a good thing because it's like, it's a story focused game. So it's kind of just like, oh, I don't really, oh, really care what's going on with you right now. So it's like I don't know what to make of this, because like I enjoy like the side stories and like the side characters, which they, I mean, all the games in the series have pretty much done a great job of that, is kind of like giving like even like minor characters a bit of a personality. So, you know, they're kind of, you can still have your favorites when you pick your squads or whatever. But this one kind of took it to, or they kind of like took it to another level with this game, because they, with the side characters now, if they, certain characters, because like in the previous game, certain characters like being around certain characters, and it'll activate their positive potentials if you if they're like around them or on the field with them or whatever. In this game, in addition to that, now you have the chance of activating like squad stories if these characters are deployed enough with each other, and it's kind of like little side story, little side missions where that like features. It features like those specific characters, and then you do a battle with them and everything. So it like kind of like fleshes them out a lot more. And it's like, for me, like those are more interesting than the main cast. And it's kind of like sad, because like you're going to spend most of your time with the main characters. So it's going to be kind of awkward to be like, oh no, I like these characters more and whatnot. So, I mean, I don't know, man. I'm still playing, but I haven't been pushing through the story or anything, because again, since I don't really care that much for the main characters, I haven't really been playing the story stuff. So most of the stuff I've been doing has just been like doing the skirmishes and playing like the squad stories and stuff like that. And I'm just like, I don't know if that's a good thing or if it's a bad thing or what's going to come of that, but it's weird. It's weird. So, but yeah, that's all I've been playing. So.
Yeah, I was just going to say, when Tropical was talking about Time Crisis, you step on the pedal to go out of cover and shoot, and then you take your foot off to be in cover and not get shot. And then also, I was watching this anime on Netflix called High School Girl. High Score Girl.
Did you see all of it?
And the first season, yes. And
so good.
I mean, the whole romance thing, I was kind of like, towards like the more I started watching, because I was like, okay, I don't like the fact that she's a tsundere and that kind of gets on my nerves, whatever. But I thoroughly enjoyed the whole like gaming aspect of it, and like going from like the 90s to like, and it just like kept going with time over time, and how I had like a Saturn, like PS1, and like, I fell in love with like the whole just historical aspect of like playing Street Fighter in the arcades in Japan, and just that was amazing. Like,
I saw the super trailer cool for that, but then I was like, should I watch this? Would I even like it?
It was so pretty. I never watched it, because I think it's primarily a romance story.
It is.
Right? Yeah. Like, there is this entire, oh, he's really into arcades and games and stuff like that, and he was like, he picked all the losing consoles over the years, but yeah, primarily it's this romance. Teen, they don't seem like teens, but they're teens. So like, I don't know. I guess it started when he was 11,
sixth grade or something.
Yeah,
there's a time jump though.
So
it's funny too, because I was watching. I was like, man, I really hope there's a time jump, because this is this is weird.
I kind of thought it was over after the sixth grade part. I was like, that's the end of the story. Like, that's sort of disappointing. And then I was like, oh, there's a time jump. Oh, there's more. And then they do another time jump. I'm like, this is cool. I am digging.
And then
this.
I was like, oh man, I hope it gets to like modern times. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Because after I got to the end of the first season, it didn't end. I was like, oh, it's not done.
Yeah.
It could keep going.
Oh, it was great.
Is the manga that it's based on like still going, or?
I don't know. I heard though that the manga back in the day got in trouble because they had all these references without permission. Like, they worked it out in the show. So the show has real arcade game
footage.
Yeah,
that is
footage.
The coolest part of the anime. Because I was like, man, how do they get permission from like a Capcom and all these companies to like put their characters in this?
They didn't.
No, they
it's
definitely
like,
did
it's kind of like
time.
The IRL version of Ready Player One, but not really, because it's a romance. But it's like, it is cool because there's all this gaming stuff that's like featured. It's in Japan, so it's like legit in Japan.
I mean, because so the... RPG, you saw the trailer, right? And I thought the show was about like Street Fighter from the trailer, but then it's like, oh no, it's about like, you know, sort of that rise of arcade fighting games.
Yeah, that's really cool. Because later on, when like the console started coming out, I was like, man, I wonder if he's gonna like stop going to arcades as much. Since like this is the part where arcades died. But then I was like, wait a minute, arcades never really died in Japan, so technically this could just keep going.
They died differently.
And it made me think of like this part in Virtual Fighter 4 Evolution when like there's like a whole part of the campaign per se, but it's like you can like raise your own character and like your fighter and like go to like the games or like the arcades in Japan and like fight against like different AI opponents that are like at different arcades and stuff. And I was like, that's cool. He's like going to different arcades with like different people hang out and stuff. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I was like, man, that's so neat. It's just like in that Virtual Fighter Evolution game.
Bygone era. Yes, I agree. That show was really good. I was going to tell you to watch it, but I guess you already did, so.
You don't have to.
It's not that long. But then I guess it does end on a cliffhanger, I guess.
It does.
If you care about the romance, especially.
That's interesting, I guess. So, did they end with her, like, trying to kiss him, and he's like, no! And then it's like, to be continued.
It's super weird, dude. It's like, it develops a weird love triangle, but it's not a love triangle because it's like one dude is clueless kind of, and he doesn't really have feelings strongly either way, except for like it's more but of like a he feels a rivalry, like, but not really like a romantic.
I think
it's it's so weird. It is like it's kind of there, but not. And he has like a rivalry, and then like he's just completely like blowing off this other girl that's like he doesn't know what he has. It's like, man, it's super weird, but it's interesting. So it's like I definitely recommend it. And then like she totally like challenges him to like a throwdown. Yeah. And like the like that's like the cliffhanger of like he's like, oh yeah, well if I beat you, we're going on a date. It's like, oh,
like yes.
And then
like,
it says like, this whole
arc where he like stops playing and like focuses on like school and like doesn't he's like not as good as he was. And then like while he was doing that, this other girl was like playing and like getting better and better and better. And so over time got to like the same level, and it's like, oh, she's better than you now. Oh, it's like, I just thoroughly enjoyed it. It's like not like nothing I'd ever seen before. So I was like, man, I found it very relatable and liked it a lot. Like I said with the Ready Player One, I just found it very relatable and very much enjoyed it. And even if there were some like aspects were not very realistic or accurate, but it's like whatever, dude. It was cool the way it was done, and like the whole like meta thing with like his guile senpai that was like avatar.
Would motivate him. His hallucinations.
Like, no. Yeah, those are great. And especially the part when he's like going to play Street Fighter Alpha and he's like, I guess I'll play Go. And Guile's like, I'm not in this one, dude. It's like, oh.
Ash?
Yeah, he's like, Charlie? He's like, Charlie, but I'm going to pick this guy because he's a name guy. So.
I'm going to go with Guy because he starts with G.
That's great. I also really enjoyed. I think it was like the first or second episode when like the girl was like beating everybody with Zangief, and it goes into like the whole like, yeah, I'm gonna be super cheap and Guile Turtle
and Jane Throne. That was so funny.
What? The actual Street Fighter terminology in this? What this? This anime is next level legit. I was like, oh my gosh. I was also watching it with my girlfriend. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they did that. That's like amazing. Oh, that's the actual thing.
The horror was really funny because like they have sort of like a cut-in narrator who explains certain things. Like when started doing the cheap throws, he was like, oh, if you do this, like it's super cheap among the, you know, like the Street Fighter circles. You have to like, if you're going to do this, you know, you have to prepare for the possibility that you will die because the other guy will kill you. And he was like, haha, I'm doing it. But she's a girl, so it's probably safe, right? She comes over and is like, beats the crap out of him. So funny. Oh, man. Yeah, I watched a lot of anime over the break as well. That one I thought was super good. It was very sad when it ended abruptly. I was like, no! When will season 2 be? Did I ever talk about Goblin Slayer?
No, you didn't talk about
it. It reminds me of games because, what, have you seen it?
Nope.
Somebody that I work with told me to watch it, but I haven't gotten around to it yet.
It is messed up. No, it's on Crunchyroll.
Crunchyroll? Okay, I'm about to subscribe to Crunchyroll this year with my YouTube revenue earnings, so.
You should just get the yearly, because it's just like 60 upfront. And it's just plus, and you're just done for the whole year. It is messed up. It's like it starts, and it feels like a typical fantasy RPG world. a JRPG world. And so people are just like, oh, we're adventurers, and we're going to go on adventures, and we're going to kill low-level monsters to get, you know, to complete these quests and get paid, and, like, we're going to be adventurers. And it starts, and you're following this this girl who just graduated, I guess, and she's a priestess, so she's a healer. And she's, like, trying to get her first quest, and then this party comes in, oh, yeah, we're going to go fight goblins. And the quest giver lady at the guild is like, are you sure? Like... Are you sure? And then, so as the viewer, you're sort of like, what's that about? Because the entire feel is like, oh, low-level goblins, whatever. And they go in and are just destroyed. Like, but it's not just bloody. It's like, it's just terrible, terrible things happen to them.
Oh, no.
Yeah, goblins apparently are really rapey. It's just, like, it's just so bad.
Oh no.
And then so the priestess girl is the one to escape, and she's about to, you know, be horrible things are about to befall her, and this dude just like appears out of nowhere and like kills the goblins, and he's in this really beat up armor and all this, and then he's the goblin slayer, and he's a really high-level adventurer, like, but he doesn't think of himself as an adventurer because all he does is kill goblins. So he never goes on any quest to kill, like, dragons or trolls or just, like, any of these things to get better equipment or better pay or whatever. He just kills goblins. And so others... Yeah. Others think of him as kind of a weirdo because he's really high-level, and yet he doesn't have like good equipment. He has like a really short sword and a tiny shield and his like beat up armor. It's like, it's a weird guy, but you find out over the course of the series, oh, he's just, it's not that he doesn't have good equipment, it's that he's very specialized. It's like the short sword thing is like, oh, because, you know, goblins live in caves and you've got a really long sword, then the young adventurer who died in the beginning, like, that's what's gonna happen to you. But yeah, it's like, there are extremely disturbing scenes. But it's also very intriguing. You're just like, well, you know, what is up with this guy? And what is up with these characters? And after watching, like, all that happens in the first episode, and it's just like, the way it seemed to me in my mind was like, if you took regular JRPG characters and put them in a Dark Souls world, that's what would happen. They just go out, oh, it's, you know, the first enemy, so it's probably a low level, we can take it, and then they just get killed. Like, everything is dangerous. Yeah. And later there is a part where the young adventurers are out like killing rats in the sewers, and it's just like really bloody and really like horrible, and it's just like, that's funny because, you know, you kill lots of rats in JRPGs in the beginning, and it's just the way it's portrayed, you never think about it. But really, I mean, you're going around killing things that are filled with blood, and, like, you're filled with blood. And when you cut open a thing that's filled with blood, then blood sprays everywhere. It's like, they never show that, but that's what's happening, right?
In all RPGs, it'd be rated M, so, yeah. So no.
Yeah, it was a very interesting show. And then the new Sword Art Online.
Oh, yeah, I have been watching. Well, I finished the season finally. I had, like, stopped midway. And oh, I was like, all right, I'll probably finish this.
It is, the premise is really interesting this time.
The season was pretty dark.
It's pretty dark.
But, it is an interesting premise, so I am interested to see where the next part of that season goes.
Yeah. That's pretty. Anyways, I will not go into it because this was all aimless.
It's what we do, man. It's what we do.
We're so good.
Getting aimless with it. Na 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 na.
Na na na. I guess we should do RRR. Rapid release responses for the month of January, because games have started to come out.
Already.
There's no break this year. I think the break happens in May or June or something, so...
And even then, there's no guarantee that's going to be the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, the summer's still pretty light now, nowadays.
I need it. I need the lights.
Now we have Satan Christmas now.
I need ketchup.
That's no longer a thing. First quarter is still loaded all the time.
So prepare your wallets because you're not going to have any more monies.
But yeah, this is going to be, I think this will be the last RRR of this style. And it's, well, basically, so we go to releases.com, we look at their list of releases for PlayStation 4, primarily. And then we give a yay or a no, or a quick response to it. And if the one shows up, then I read a truncated description of the game. And it's mostly for comedic and entertainment purposes and effect or what have you not. And we've done that for like over a year. And it's basically the same gag that we've been doing. So next time, it will be a different RR. Hopefully a bit more something different. Because, I mean, how much longer can we stretch this thing? It's pretty one note. So, yes, look forward to that. See, I want to eat too, but I have nothing to eat over here.
I'm just about to say, you start eating right into the mic.
Anyways.
I don't know. I never know when it's picking it up because I can hear it.
Obviously, if it's next to your mouth, it's going to pick it up.
I don't know how sensitive my mic is.
Just mute your mic if you know you're going to eat.
So, actually, a question first. Do we want to do Switch games? Because...
Yes, because you both have Switches, and I'm going to get one eventually.
A ton of Switch versions of indie games that were on other systems have been released recently. Okay.
Do it.
So we're going to do it then. This was going to be fancier if you're watching on Twitch.
I guess I vote no, but I'm already outvoted, so whatever.
Too late. yeah, if you're watching on Twitch, this was going to be fancier, but I didn't have the time to go through all the lists and get all the visuals, so... Enjoy our logo. Here we go. January 1st, 8 days ago. Is that 8 days? Wow, it's the 9th. January 1st, Xenon Valkyrie Plus came out on Switch.
I don't know what that is.
A roguelite.
And I don't want to play it now, so that's all I need to know.
Did you say roguelite?
Oh.
Platformer with RPG elements and a remake.
This was a roller coaster.
They do always start on the bottom.
They're like, here's these things that you're definitely gonna like, but also it's a roguelike, so you know, enjoy it. I have mixed feelings about all of this.
January 3rd, JCB Pioneer Mars on Switch.
Is this a Mars exploration game, possibly?
Survive and prepare the way for human colonization on the red planet in JCB Pioneer.
Pass. This sounds like some survival game that I don't really care about that genre, so meh.
Of course you care about that genre.
Alright, I need to highlight before I read.
Right, because then it'll be easier for you to figure out the...
The next one is Pang Adventures for Switch.
Pang Adventures?
P-A-N-G.
That's... Sounds a bit naughty. I don't know. But probably not because it's on Switch. So,
if you're into it.
So, yes. Anyway, the Pang series is a beloved collection of arcade video games.
What's a series? What? I've never heard this before.
I've never heard this
before. I call shenanigans. It's a trap.
I mean, just because you've never heard of it doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
I browse the store a lot, RPG. A lot.
Do you though?
There's only this like one archive series that's called like A something something at something something at Arcade Archives something something. There's probably like another one, whatever. It's not paying though. So it's like, I think these ones are probably not that great. Just there.
Rude.
I mean, it's out now, so I could look it up, but I don't feel like it. My phone's not on, so.
Someday. Then there was a game called Catastronauts for Switch.
Doesn't sound like a fun time.
I mean, it could be.
Because it sounds like you're in space and then something bad happens. That's not a fun time.
All the children on the cover.
When has anything bad ever happened in space? I'm just kidding.
Only in the movies.
So basically all the time. I don't know. Read the description. Is this a Switch game too?
This is a Switch game. all of this is like Switch games in the beginning of the month. There was a ton of indie Switch games that came out. Catastronauts is a fast-paced multiplayer action game in which...
Sounds like some PvP garbage I could hear less about.
Well, it said fast-paced multiplayer game, so it's possible that there is some light cooperation going on. Maybe it could be like Alien Swarm, where you get betrayed by your team members who run away and leave you to die by a swarm of aliens. Because they're jerks.
Yeah, some people need to learn how to keep up and not die. Yeah, you know what Apocalypse says, it's a survival of the fittest, man. Should have been more fit. Should have adapted.
Well,
I think that game is 8 players now. Did we look it up? I think we looked it up. So you can
betray more people at once. That sounds super
chaotic. Awesome. The next game is called Don't Sync for Switch.
Like S-Y-N-C?
No, S-I-N-K.
Oh, okay. I thought it was a play on words. Because I don't know why you would want to sync. Unless it's like a fishing or quicksand
virus.
Are quicksand games a thing?
It could be.
Pitfall.
Interesting. But yeah, I don't know what that is. But Don't Sync doesn't sound like it's going to be that exciting of a game, though, so...
Capture islands, sink ships, defend your towns, and discover an...
They just told us not to sink. Why are we sinking ships? This title is a lie.
Yeah, it sounds like you're on a boat or a ship or something, not like you're not trying to sink. I mean, if you're on a ship or boat and you don't want to sink, but you know what I'm saying.
All right. January 3rd, Dreamwalker for Switch.
Ooh, sounds sexy.
I'm just going to read. Meet Walker. Walker is wandering the land of dreams, following...
I mean, we could have gathered that much.
Another terrible description brought to you by... I mean, another terrible game description brought to you by the back of the box people at whatever developer they are.
Sigh. What's the genre for this?
It says... Oh no, don't crash. It says, action puzzle.
Nope. Oh. Not a fan of puzzles.
I would be interested in that.
Especially after Destiny 2 and its shenanigans.
Well, that's a different kind of thing.
Then we got The Aquatic Adventure of the Last Human for Switch.
Oh.
So we're drowning. Is that what you're saying? Because that sounds like that's how that ends.
Well, if you're the last apparently human, that's what happened to adventure. All the humans. They all died by drowning. But he was like, you know what? I'm going on an aqua adventure anyway.
Yeah, maybe they all burned to death, and the last human was like, I'm not, that's not going to happen to me, and jumped in the ocean.
But, okay. I mean, there's that.
You don't have gills, and you can't breathe underwater. Have fun with that.
Well, then.
Explore the ruins of the human race, and discover the thriving...
Well, if he's the last human, can't be thriving. I mean, everything's dead.
Perhaps there's other stuff.
No, that sounds worse. So no.
Cool. This game was actually already on PS4. So if you want to see it, which you don't, but other listeners maybe, it is out there. January 4th saw the release of Fitness Boxing for Switch.
Oh man, I almost got that because I saw it and I was like, this is like, you know, probably as close as I'm going to get to that dream.
You really want to get yelled at, game.
And like, they just teach you how to fight. And it's punch, like, I mean, maybe not punch, teach you how to fight, but like, you punch, know, you throw punches and you're getting in shape at the same time. So it's like, you know, it's like a 2-for-2 there.
You got Beat Saber. You don't need that.
If I'm ever in a dark alley, you know, someone's like, Saber. Hey, Tegan. And I like some creepy, turn out to be a zombie person that can talk. I can be like, oh yeah, well, my Switch fitness game taught me this, and just punch him in the face and stuff.
It's like taking Taibo as self-defense class.
That's what I thought when I saw the trailer of that game on Twitter or whatever. I was like, except they're not kicking, they're just punching, so. Or kneeing. Just punches. But no, it's better than nothing, so.
January 10th. Neko Navy Daydream Edition.
Does this involve a cat? And are there like a fleet of cats that are in boats that are in a navy.
Well, let's see. Neko Navy Daydream Edition by Studio Death Mofu Mofu is a delightful upgraded.
Did they just waste all their descriptions? They wasted all of their words. Holy.
This one had potential, and they ruined it all.
You had one job, guys. You had one job, and you failed it.
Whoopsie.
So no, because I don't know what it is, except for its name.
January 10th, also, After Charge for Switch, PC, and Xbox One.
I've heard of this game, but I don't know what it's about.
After Charge is a 3v3 competitive game pitting invisible robots.
And then you said competitive pass.
Wait, how do you play a game with invisible robots?
What's going on?
Just push buttons and guess, I guess.
It's like, I hope I'm winning.
Huh, yeah, I don't know. Reading another line. I need to see a
trailer for this game. It's going to be like an empty screen. It's like,
It's just the play field.
I don't know what's happening.
It's like a flea circus.
I've always wondered about those. Because, I mean, do the fleas really do tricks? Do they know how to do the equipment? Is there a ringleader flea?
Do the equipment.
Do they enslave other species of small insects?
Oh, that's true. They could do, like, mites or something. Yeah. And they're like, you are my mite lion. Jump through this mini, tiny, flaming hoop of... that we somehow inexplicably have, or for some reason.
That would be interesting.
Someone should make a video game about this.
Flea Circus Simulator. January 10th also saw the release, or will see the release, of Everything on Switch.
Oh, there's an actual game called Everything.
Yeah, if I get it, I mean, on PS4, not on Switch, sorry, so pass.
This is Everything. This is the game I was talking about earlier.
Oh, it's when I was talking about I played Everything and then also nothing? Because I didn't actually play Everything because I didn't know it was a thing.
That was very confusing.
But okay. I know, right? But Everything is that game where you can play as everything.
Is how that works. And then Samsara coming out on Switch?
What that sounds familiar.
Samsara. Z is lost in Samsara. A puzzling journey of beauty and...
Ooh, that sounds interesting.
Too bad they said the puzzle word pass.
Oh my gosh, what is what you want? Why are you so against puzzles? Not everything is going to be like a stupid lab thingy from Destiny.
I don't
gravitate towards the
irreparably damaged Tekken.
Not a fan.
Seriously.
Super cut. Anyway, then we have Double Cross. For PC and Switch, January 10th.
Wait, Double Cross is the name of the game?
Or... Double Cross is the name of the game.
Is it like some kind of spy thriller?
It says action adventure platformer.
I mean, I would be interested in it.
A good title, then.
Double Cross sounds like it could be so many things. Read the description.
Double Cross is an exciting action-adventure game that has...
Well, we know that. I mean... gosh, guys, get it together. Who writes these things?
Wasted. And see, so, you know, we're kind of hinting at what the future of RRR will be. Who indeed writes these things? Maybe we're blaming the wrong people. Moving on, January 10th, Overdriven Reloaded for Switch.
Well, this sounds like a racing game of some sort, so no.
Tekken?
RPG said.
Okay. Then we got Snowboarding, the Next Phase.
Oh, man.
Also see, Switch.
It's not SSH tricky.
I was about to say, it's like, there's only one there's one snowboard game that matters, and it's called SSX, and I doubt this is that good.
All right. This game is called Bury Me, My Love for Switch, PC, and that's it.
That sounds sad.
Sounds like a call for help.
Oh gosh, I'm almost afraid for you to read the description.
Bury Me, My Love is an interactive fiction designed for handheld.
What? Wait, for handheld? But, because it's on the Switch.
Interactive fiction. What does it even mean?
I'm assuming it's some type of visual novel of some
sort. No thanks.
More trauma. More
trauma. Wait, did you ever talk about Shibuya's scream?
Yes, it was when you got dropped from the call.
Oh no! So I missed all of the good stuff.
No.
I was gonna ask why. I wanted to know why. Wonderful.
Expectation versus reality.
Well, I mean, in all fairness, like, they're kind of like, you have to, it's like certain, it's like certain visual novels are, it's, you have to play specific ones. I mean, because not all of them have gameplay and not all of them have interesting stories. Some of them are just traumatizing because of reasons, you know, that kind of stuff. But I mean, who knows?
Who knows? This next one is called BQM, Block Quest Master. Sorry, not Master, Block Quest Maker. It's coming out on Switch January 10th.
That doesn't sound very fun.
It does not sound fun at all, actually.
Alright.
I agree.
I'm going to play with blocks in a video game.
I mean, I guess technically that's what Legos
and
are.
And Minecraft.
Still. And I guess Dragon Quest Builders. And... I mean, we could just list fun. A bunch of games.
Yeah.
Or still, blocks,
like Minecraft,
but still,
this is called Apocalypse. Except the first Y is an I, coming out on like, Switch.
Like the letter I, or
the letter I,
organ I.
And it looks like there's a subtitle, but it is obscured.
I'm curious. What is this coming out on?
It says Harry at the end of the world. It's coming out on Switch. So these are like. We chose Switch games, so we have a ton of Switch games to
Wonderful.
Go through.
Wonderful. What's the description on this?
Apocalypse, Harry at the end of the world. Oh, man,
is,
look at that.
Is like Harry somebody's name?
Is a traditional point and...
Ew, it's a point-and-click game, no. Hard pass on that.
Harry is a person's name, yeah.
Oh. Well, he sounds like he's in a terrible world because he can only point and click. And his name is Harry, so I mean, if nothing good is coming out of that.
This next one is called Eli, I think. E-L-L-I. Coming out on Switch. Yep.
Wouldn't it be Ellie?
Is it?
Yeah. Or Eli.
Or Eli. Who knows? Anyways, something like that. Go ahead. Continue.
That's it. That's the title.
Yeah, well, I mean, the description, obviously. Genius.
Guide Eli on her journey through... the land of the Mandragora. So maybe Ellie. Guide Ellie on
her. Oh, guiding her. What's the genre for this?
Action adventure platformer.
Oh. I might be into that.
Tekken?
No, thanks.
All right.
Rude.
This one is called Ethan Meteor Hunter.
No.
Coming out on Switch. No.
I want to hunt meteors. What's wrong with you? They're people too.
This game was also out on PS3, Vita, and Xbox One.
PS3?
That's weird.
I guess it's old. It's a port.
I think I've heard of that game, actually.
But then why would they put it on the Xbox One and not the PlayStation 4?
Money, dear boy. Money.
That makes even less sense.
Oh, wait. That, yeah, there's less of them. That's, I don't know.
Maybe they
not
like
money, dear boy. Not money.
Systems.
Anyways, next.
Sega Ages Outrun for Switch?
Ooh. Oh, but it's on Switch.
You have a Switch!
Yeah, but it's A, that, and then B, it's not the second game, it's the first game anyway, so whatever.
This one...
I mean, it's the arcade part, but it's like, I like the modern versions more, so pass.
Is Sega Ages the arcade editions?
I think so.
That means I do have a good golden axe. All right. This one is Lightseekers, January 10th, coming to Switch.
That sounds like another name for Destiny, but not.
So just based on that alone.
So no. Okay, I'm moving on. Momodora? Momodora? Reverie Under the Moonlight. Coming out on Switch.
That sounds...
Already on PS4 and Xbox One and PC.
Oh, it already exists?
Yes.
So it's a port.
Most of these, like 50% are, I think.
Oh. See, at least
at least Switch is getting third party support.
Yeah, a lot of them.
Yeah. So that's good. But I don't know what Reverie is, so there's that.
Momodora Reverie Under the Moonlight is a fan favorite 2D.
No. You lost me at 2D.
It's like a fan favorite I haven't heard of. No thanks.
Guess we're not fans.
LOLs.
This one is Mecha Wars Desert Ashes.
Like Mecha, but with an O?
Yep.
That's weird.
On paper, I should like this game, but it sounds familiar. Like, I passed on it familiar.
It says, a classic reborn. Casual what? Turn-based strategy Ooh. In a land of...
What? Hey, turn-based strategy, you say?
Maybe that's why I remember it. It's like, we talked about it before, and I was like, oh, I should check that out. I never checked it out.
Hmm.
I should check it out. Mecha Wars.
No. Is it Mecha Wars?
Mecha. M-E-C-H-O? Mecha?
It's a Mecha.
Yeah.
Mecha Wars?
Yes, that is what it says.
Don't yell at me, I'm sensitive. Well, apparently it came out in 2009, so I guess it's like
a re-release onto Switch.
Yeah. Well, there goes that.
This game is called Hopiko, H-O-P-I-K-O, coming out on Switch, possibly already out on PS4, Xbox One, and PC.
Explain.
Wait, what was the name of it?
Hopiko or something Hopiko? Like that.
Hopiko?
Hopiko or...
Okay, it's in Japanese, and I was like, could go either way.
Hopiko is an intense speedrun platformer where you get to... No. Moving on. Inside the Radio for Switch. Still January 10th.
On PS4. I don't need this on Switch.
Oh.
Is it good?
I haven't really played it.
Well, then, there goes that.
It's in the backlog.
Alrighty. Then there is cool. Stellar Interface, January 11th, coming out on Switch.
Nah, I don't like space games.
Stellar Interface.
Maybe it's just a really good interface.
Stare at a dashboard the entire time?
That sounds worse.
Run through the universe in this roguelike-ish space shooter.
That's no.
There you go. I don't like space games and I don't like roguelikes, so that's a hard, super hard pass on that.
Then we got Hitman HD Enhanced Collection for PS4.
Oh, I saw
Wait,
this.
Now is this Xbox One?
Or are these the original Hitman, or no, is it like the one that's...
Contracts or something? Or not Absolution, it's Absolution and Blood Money, I think.
I think I have like one of those or two of them or something. I have Hitman for some reason.
So it's also $60, so I'm passing because I'm not paying that much for
these
two games.
These are the PS3 ones, I think.
Oh, yeah. I think I already have them, so no. And you know how I am with stealth, so.
that should be a show we do sometimes. You get to watch RPG play stealth.
RPG play stealth.
That'd be awesome.
Oh, gosh, that would be terrible.
Tales of Vesperia Definitive Edition, PS4, Switch, PC, and Xbox One.
I want to get this, but I don't want to pay 60, so I might wait for a sale. Since, you know, the other Tales games were $15 in the Christmas sale, and I was like, oh, that's less than 60. I might do this when Vesperia comes out.
Yeah, I might, because, I mean, yeah, I already played through the original, so, I mean, I'll probably end up waiting for a sale for that one, too, but I am interested in it, because Vesperia is one of the best ones in the series, so...
Really?
It is. It is good.
This game is called Hive Jump. Still January 11th. Coming out on Switch. It's been out on PC for like 2 years. 3 years.
Oh,
2 years.
Probably no on that.
Alright. Mario and Luigi, Bowser's Inside Story, and Bowser Jr.'s Journey. 3DS.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. I mean, I played Inside Story, so I mean, it's probably one of those things where I'll probably wait for a sale for this one too, but I'll end up picking it up because I enjoyed that game. It was a lot of fun, and it's very wacky. So that one is a good one.
I like the they're doing add-ons to these also. There's like the remake of the old game and then another new game.
Oh yeah, plus the little new game. Yeah, like a little new thing.
It's really cool. And then finally, January 11th, new Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe coming out on Switch.
Is that just a port from the Wii U one?
I believe so.
Because it has U in it, so I'm guessing it must have released on there. Unless they just like adding random U's to stuff, which I wouldn't put it past Nintendo.
That's what they did with the Wii U. It did not turn out well.
It did not. It did not.
Alright, so we're on to January 15th. Pretty exciting day. The first one is The Walking Dead, the Telltale series, the final season, episode 3.
Oh.
Every platform.
I already got my season pass, so sign me up.
Exciting. Ooh. Broken Toys.
One more episode after this. One more. Although I still haven't played. Wait, did I play this season before the final season?
I don't think I did.
So
I don't remember you talking about it.
So I still have to do that too, even if I do end up getting this. So yeah, I still have to do that. Oh yeah, because you guys did mention like there's some new characters stuff. So yeah, I don't think I played the season before this.
Exciting. So, yeah, now I'll actually get the season now that we know it will end.
Oh yeah, that's true, because otherwise there would have been no point, because it's like LOLs.
Well, they wouldn't, like, I didn't have the choice. I couldn't get it if I wanted to. But now I can again. Hooray! Coming out on PS4, Smoke and Sacrifice.
Why does that sound familiar?
It released on PC and Switch last year.
What was the name again?
Smoke and Sacrifice.
What?
Players assume the role of Sachi, a young mother on a quest.
Oh, that sounds interesting, but I don't think this is probably as good as my brain would like it to be.
That's gonna be sad, isn't it? It's gonna be sad. Anytime there's a mother on her journey, it always ends.
You never know, she could reunite with her children or child and it'll be a happy ending.
Well, she's gonna reunite with them, all right, but it's not gonna be alive.
Yeah. The title has sacrifice. I mean, Smoke is kind of neutral.
It's like, I'm gonna go out on a limb and say it's not gonna be a happy story.
Maybe you make a blood sacrifice, Full Metal Alchemist style, to bring your kids back from the dead or something.
That did not turn out well. That is a terrible example.
That's horrible.
Maybe it'll be good.
Maybe this time it doesn't.
Have you seen both shows? Because it never turned out well for anyone. One of them lost their entire bodies.
Then Onimusha Warlords comes out on PS4, Switch, and Xbox One.
Tell me when 3's out, or 4, because I never got to play 4.
Yeah.
I like that series, but I want them to just make a new.
Yeah, that too.
That would be really great.
That too.
I don't want to releases. Just give me my new one.
The Grand Tour game for PS4 and Xbox One.
Is this a racing game?
Either yes,
that or just like a little racing tour.
The genre is racing.
So gross. No.
That's
weird. It's called the Grand Tour game. That's a weird title.
I mean, maybe it's like a tour of. Yeah, I don't know.
This one is really interesting. If we do a useful RR later on, this is one I want to talk about. It's really seems interesting to me, but that doesn't really mean anything. Moving on, Vayne is coming out finally, PS4.
Bane?
Vayne, V-A-N-E.
I don't know what this game is.
Explore the secrets of the past to find the remnants of your
future
past. Yeah. Another one I would talk about if we were doing a useful segment.
Interesting. Interessante indeed.
It is interessanting. Okay, so January 17th. Hell Warders for PS4. Ooh. And Switch. Not Switch. PS4 and PC.
Did you say warders or borders?
Warders.
Like water?
W-A-R-D-E-R-S.
Oh, like warding off something.
Yes.
Oh, well, that's different. So you're like warding off hell. I mean, I guess that makes sense. You don't want hell to get in. So.
That's true. I mean, maybe we're already there. Just saying.
Dark timeline and all that. So.
Go ahead and read the description.
Hell Warders is part of a new subgenre known as action.
What?
No, action exists already.
I'm pretty sure that's not a
Is
phrase.
A hyphenated word one or two words?
A hyphenated word is one word because it's...
Okay, action defense.
Ew.
Action defense. Places.
What is even that? What at all?
Is it basically just tower defense and they're trying to be all clever with the genre thingy? Because that already exists.
Yeah, maybe. I was like, tower defense, but you just do a lot of action and stuff or something? Cool.
Because, like, that's already a thing. It's already a thing.
I think it is tower defense. All right. Feudal Aloy, or no, Feudal Alloy, Switch and PC.
Yeah, also going January back to 17th. The whatever the last game was, that sounds like a very oxymoronic genre, just saying. Action defense.
Well, that means you might be actively defending as opposed to waiting for stuff to come to you and get murdered by your tower, so that's probably why.
Or it's that saying that the best defense is a good offense, in which case action defense is just action.
Yes. And I mean, the saying's not entirely wrong, because I mean, if everything's dead, you don't have to defend anymore.
Exactly.
So, you know, good offense. Good offense, the way to go. So, yeah.
What's the game that we're on now,
though? Feudal Alloy? Feudal Alloy.
It's the Feudal Japan game where you're like a machine, because that'd be cool.
A Metroidvania-style action RPG with fishbowl powered medieval.
Medieval?
I don't like Metroidvanias.
Alrighty. I'm excited for this one. Y2K, a postmodern RPG, comes out January 17th for PS4, PC, and Mac.
Y2K.
Yeah, it's like YIIK.
Y2K.
I'm looking forward to it too. It looks very interesting.
I'm excited.
I've never heard of this.
Really?
Have I not heard of it, guys?
Because the trailer was on the PlayStation YouTube page and you probably didn't watch it.
Oh. Interesting. Yeah, I have not heard of this. What is it, like, supposed to be?
Wasn't this at the Game Awards, or was that something else?
I don't watch the Game Awards, so I probably were.
Or was it, like, that weekend when, like... Oh, it was the Kind of Funny thing.
Yeah, I think it was the Kind of Funny thing.
That's what it was.
I didn't watch that either, so that's probably why.
In this surreal Japanese-style RPG, when a mystery woman...
When a mystery woman what? What? When she what? Wonderful. Although it's an RPG, so I mean, I technically would be interested in it. Is it coming out on the PlayStation 4 or is this only on the Switch?
PS4. PS4, PC, and Mac.
Interesting.
Switch might be a later date. Or it could be the same day.
I will keep my eye out on that for that one.
I'm excited for it. Then we got hashtag kill all zombies is coming to Switch.
That sounds very lame.
Yeah.
Just saying. Hashtag played out.
All right.
Hashtag for reals.
Then we got Dying Reborn coming out on Switch.
I think I've heard of this game, I think. Isn't this a game
on PS4? It was on PS4 and Vita.
Yeah. I think I might have this game, actually. I actually haven't played it. So I don't need it because I already have it. Pass.
RPG?
I don't know what it is.
Dying Reborn is a dark, horror-themed puzzle game that creates...
A what?
A dark, horror-themed game that creates.
A dark horror? That's not very nice.
Horror.
Oh, horror. Sorry. I heard horror, and I was like, wait. How do you theme a game like that? But, I mean, darkest timeline, so who knows?
I guess.
I mean, I do like horror stuff, but maybe.
I think it was a VR game on PS4, but clearly there are not VR versions of it. Continuing January 17th, Fairy Fencer F, Advent Dark Force is coming out on Switch.
I've heard of this game. I think RPG might have played it.
I was semi-interested in it, but from my understanding, it's fairly mediocre, so it's not worth the trouble.
Never mind, then. Pass it is.
From Idea Factory.
Ew.
Because it's an Idea Factory game.
That's all you need to say.
As you guys know how I feel about that developer, so...
Are they the Chaos Wars and Baroque people?
They are a lot of things, but just let's not even dwell on this. Next.
Octahedron coming out on Switch.
What the F is that?
Octahedron is a precision vertical action game about creating your...
What? What? Precision vertical action game that... whatever, dude. Pass. Like, you could just call it something like way simpler. I'm just saying.
Build your way up. Precision vertical fun of
that. Precision vertical action game. Like, who says that? It's a precision vertical action game.
I mean, I guess that means like you have to pay attention to how your jump is
being. I was about to say that's just like a fancy way of saying platforming. Come on.
I just work here, man.
Then finally, Gunman Clive HD Collection for
Gunman
Switch.
You know, after the last game in the genre that was they called themselves, I didn't think, oh man, that next game's just going to totally, like, you know, do worse than this game. This game did worse. Gunman Action, whatever the F. Pass.
Yeah. Pass.
Who would call a character in your game Gunman? Don't do that if you're listening. Don't do that.
January 18th. Ace Combat 7, Skies Unknown.
PS4, oh, yeah. Xbox One. It's been a long time since it's been an Ace Combat game, and I'm all ready for it.
Woot!
And it's got VR stuff.
That I'm actually considering the flight stick one for this one.
That would be so cool, maybe.
Then Kingdom Hearts VR Experience for PS4?
Nope.
No.
No. All right.
Why say the RPG that you were the Kingdom Hearts lover?
I don't have VR, so...
Oh, well, should have took that Switch money and bought it. Just saying. What's going to happen? Told you!
I think I'm good on that.
Yeah, this is the dawn of the VR age.
Until they give you the Keyblade-wielding VR action that you never knew you wanted, and you're like, oh man, that's so good. Oh.
I'll somehow still sleep at night.
You know what would be really cool if they made, like, a VR ride of Kingdom Hearts? It would be, like, this really long ride, and you'd be very confused going through the story, but it would be very neat.
Why would you
that
want
that? Should be
that?
The Kingdom Hearts VR experience.
It'd be easier than playing the game. It wouldn't take, like, 5,000 spinoffs and, like, 3 main games.
Oh my gosh. It's only, like, 8 games in a series. Stop being so dramatic.
That's too short of 10 RPG. 10.
Yeah, the Final Fantasy series has like 16. I mean, at this point.
Oh, like, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a total, like, great example to use. Final Fantasy, it's been around since like 1980, whatever.
It's more like the Marvel Cinematic Universe. You have to, like, they are all connected, and there are many of them. Anyways, January 18th, Travis Strikes Again, No More Heroes, coming out on Switch.
I was initially interested in this until I found out it was like some kind of weird like mini game compilation or something.
I don't know exactly, but it is different-ish.
Yeah, I'm waiting and seeing. I'm hoping it comes to PS4 because, you know.
That would be nice.
Well, I mean, the other ones ended up coming to the PS4, so, or PS3, sorry. So it's possible.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Then January 9th.
Did the first two No More Heroes games come to PS3?
Yeah, they came as like a remastered port thingy or something.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I know I have the second one.
So I don't have them on PS3, I have them on Wii. And I haven't played them still.
And Wii was popular. Okay, so January 19th, Sword Art Online, Fatal Bullet Complete Edition, PS4, PC.
As opposed to the Uncomplete?
Nope, not on Switch. At a later date.
I have no idea if those games are any good, so I'm passing.
Me either.
Fatal Bullet is odd because it's not like the other ones because the other ones are like hack and slash RPGs kind of, but then this one is like a gun based RPG. Because Sword Art is weird. It's a weird series.
I like it.
It's a weird series, you guys.
It is weird. All right. January 22nd, A Fisherman's Tale for PS4 and PC.
This sounds like a boring fishing game, pass.
Or it sounds like an amazing fishing game. I'm just kidding. It's a fishing game. F that noise.
All right. Then At Sundown, Shots in the Dark, PS4. What?
Is this a cool like PC? Western shoot 'em in the showdown draw time? If it is, sign me up.
At Sundown, Shots in the Dark is stealth driven top down.
Oh, well, guess you guys know where I stand on that.
Aww. That was a twist I was not looking forward to. But I do like stealth games, so maybe.
I do not.
At Sundown. Then Senran Kagura Burst Renewal.
Nope. Not a fan.
PS4. All right.
Sexy time.
You can take your bleep larps and put them somewhere where they should be and not in my game.
I guess they're like ninjas?
They're supposed to be. Yep.
Sexy ninjas.
Interesting. And then Future Grind comes out on PS4 and PC.
You know, as someone who's like grinded a lot the last 12 plus months, I don't need grind to be in the name of your game, person that put that in there. And definitely a pass.
You've been playing Future Grind.
You've been grinding.
How's that make you feel?
I feel fine.
Are you sure?
Yep.
How sure are you?
I'm so sure, RPG, that I am so sure.
Well, that wasn't a very good punchline at all.
Oh, well. January 24th, Smite comes out on Switch.
It's like Paragon, but not.
Pour one out for Paragon.
Too soon, Tekken! Too soon.
It's like those scenes, you know, in movies where it's like, oh, I can't even remember the person's face or whatever. Like, I'm starting to forget the names of characters in Paragon. And I realized, I was like, wow, that makes me sad. I spent so much time.
I only ever need to remember Shinbi. All that matters.
It was like, there was like a guy and he jumped in the air and did something. It was like,
he was like, Rampage.
And then it's two and oh, Steel. Oh, Paragon. All right, back to this. January 24th, Life is Strange 2, Episode 2. Rules. Oh, it's just called Rules.
I already have the season pass. I'm working my way through the first episode, so that should be done by then. I'll see you then, Life is Strange 2, Episode 2.
RPG, still waiting for the entire seasons?
I am, because I do want to get this one, but yeah, I don't want to wait for episodes, so I am going to wait until the full season is out, and then I will play it, and then I'll be like, yeah, guys, look what I did. I destroyed my entire world because I'm terrible at these things.
I still got to play season 1. So, yeah. And all of them. So, anyway.
Wait, you haven't played season 1, you said?
No, I haven't finished.
What?
I'm going to get to all this stuff. I have a plan.
Which is very good plan.
To just get through the stuff.
Oh.
It hasn't begun yet. Anyways, January 24th, Le Grand Legacy is coming out on Switch.
I have no idea this is...
Le Grand Legacy is a love letter to all-time favorite JRPGs with a...
Okay, you know, you could have just ended there, but then you're like, with the... It's like, oh, is it with the twist? With the something I don't want to know? Because that's going to make it worse. But now it's like... Now I'm cautiously optimistic about this Le Grand Legacy game.
You know, is the next word rogue?
Is the next word roguelike? Because...
A roguelike twist. And it's dead.
The thing that nobody asked for, but we got it anyway. Thanks a lot.
I feel like Le Grand Legacy, it feels like an older game. But yeah, I don't...
Anyway. It does sound like an older game. That's what
like a PS1 era JRPG, maybe.
Legend of the Gaia, maybe?
It's not Legend of the Gaia.
I'm just saying, maybe that's what he's thinking
maybe
of.
Maybe that's what it reminds me of. Anyways, January 24th still, this is Piku Niku coming out on Switch.
This sounds very Japanesey. Very specifically Japanesey.
Piku Niku is an absurd puzzle exploration game that takes place...
You know, before you said puzzle, I might have been on board, but you did, so I'm not.
I love puzzles. But it just sounds weird though, Piku Niku?
Piku Niku.
Yeah, that's gonna be like about some animal. So.
Because it sounds like an animal that would be on Aimless Island.
so it is.
Pico-nico, pico-nico.
Running around with the rapidaps.
Murder it and then skin it.
Last one for January 24th, Jack Quest, Tale of the Sword. PC what? And Switch. That's an
odd combination of words.
And PS4.
No, that is the terrible name.
Jack Quest.
Jack Quest. That, ugh, terrible, terrible.
Like a jackfruit?
I don't see any indication of that, but yeah, that's how
it
spells.
I mean,
is that an actual fruit, a jackfruit?
The jackfruit is an actual fruit, yes.
I've never heard of that before.
Mm-hmm. Look it up.
I wonder if I've ever ate one.
Probably not.
All right. Let's see. January 25th, Resident Evil 2, PS4,
oh,
PC,
yeah.
Xbox One.
Oh, yeah.
Exciting.
I think
Tekken's excited.
Well, you get your turn. January 29th, Kingdom Hearts 3, PS4.
I'm not excited.
Quite possibly the beginning of the end of the Darkest Timeline in a bad way.
Oh, yeah, that's no. True.
Dot, dot, dot.
Reality's going to fall apart soon.
I mean, the government is currently shut down, I'm just saying.
I hope the game is really long.
Emergencies could be declared, I'm just saying.
Well,
constitutions,
I mean,
could be suspended, I'm just saying.
I mean, I guess we had a good run, but, you know.
I'm just going to live don't. In Kingdom Hearts 3, then.
But I only just now got a waifu.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Well, I'm sorry.
No.
But, you know, game had to come out eventually, so.
It's like Spider-Man. It's all tragedy.
You don't get to be happy, Tiger. You're never going to get another Mass Effect game. Or to see the end of the Walking Dead. You'll never know how Clementine's story.
I mean, the bright side is, get to finish Kingdom Hearts, so, you know.
The bright side.
Wow,
it is for
so
me.
I have to play it faster than RPG to see the end? No. Because I'm never seeing the end of Kingdom Hearts 3. January 29th. My Little Riding...
play it all within a day, you should be okay.
Maybe. My Little Riding Champion for Switch.
Is this a horse riding game? I imagine.
There is a picture of a horse.
A horse riding game.
Wow, that's like a random guess. I was like, what would you ride? A horse? Oh.
Camel.
Now I'm like wondering if there's any like a good horse riding games. I mean, there are good games where you ride horses, but like, is there an actual game where it's like, you ride horses and that's the game, and it's like, oh, that was a pretty fun game. It's not that bad.
You should get My Little Riding Champion. Let's see.
Don't get My Little Riding Champion.
All right. Also January 29th, Genesis Alpha 1 is coming out on PS4, PC, and Xbox One.
This sounds like a space or DNA game.
A sci-fi game blending roguelike first-person shooter.
Pass.
Well, we know how that's going.
Also, good luck writing champion coming out the same day as Kingdom Hearts 3. Have fun with that.
Also, Mages of Mistralia is coming out on Switch that day.
This sounds familiar.
Well, it's a good thing I don't have a Switch.
PS4 and Xbox One already.
I would be neglecting it at that point, so...
Should I just go through these last titles because they don't matter?
I mean, he's not wrong.
Well, there's Air Conflicts Double Pack coming out on Switch, and then January 31st, Dragon Marked for Death is coming out on Switch.
Oh no, why is the dragon marked for death?
Let's see if there's something useful back here.
It's very sad. He could have been a good dragon.
Dragon Marked for Death is a 2D side-scrolling action RPG.
Ooh. That's interesting. I mean, too bad it came out when it did.
It's 2 days later. Maybe we'll be done.
Maybe
the world will still be here.
For the sake of reality, you better hope I'm not done in 2 days.
This one I'm interested in. This is a PC game. Sunless Skies. It's coming out January 31st.
So that's how it ends, eh? It's an omen of what's going to happen after
good old foreshadowing.
Wow.
I'm going to freeze to death because the sun's out of the sky and, you know, darkness, darkest timeline. Makes sense.
That's great.
You know,
We had a good run.
Someone's guys? Yeah? Yeah? No?
Oh, yeah, no. I'm obviously not getting anything after 29th, so...
Well, the last one here is Downwell. It's coming out on Switch.
I already have that on Vita or PS4 or whatever, so...
Oh, good. And it crashed. So... I'm pretty sure that was the last game there, so...
More foreshadowing, if you needed more.
So yeah, like, January, there's some really exciting games for the power consoles, and then a ton of stuff. If you're starved for content on Switch, there's a ton of stuff coming out on Switch, so you should be good.
But you know what's not coming out on Switch? Yeah.
That sounds like the argument I was making on Twitter with Dagger a couple months ago or whenever.
I mean, maybe one day. I'm just kidding. There'll be no more days.
All right. So that's RRR. Possibly the last RRR of that type.
Ever.
Ever. Ever. Unless because I get lazy.
Reality.
We'll go back. So
reality is going to be destroyed.
If that doesn't happen, look forward to a new type of RRR coming in February.
There won't be one. We're doomed. We're doomed.
Oh, yes. All right, let's do some news stuff, shall we?
We shall.
Oh, man. Okay, so this is... My setup right now is really confusing. It sort of worked with what you've been playing, but all the new stuff, is not as easy as what I was doing earlier. So, let's hope this works. Well, first off, so there was a weird story that happened over the time that we were off, in which, so Overwatch League is divided into the pros and then a league they call Contenders. Which is, I guess, like, you could call it the minor leagues. And there is a team called Second Wind. And they had signed a player named Ellie, who was, you know, for a while, it's like, oh, more girls joining into Overwatch League. And that's really cool. But people were suspicious because Ellie's, she didn't... Everyone has their real name listed next to their gamer tag, and she did not. And people were like, is this, or so, you know, parts of the community decided that she was not real, that this was a fake person.
Huh? How did they like decide
Ellie does not exist?
Not real.
And they started, you know, going out looking for evidence that Ellie is not real, that this is actually some other pro, because like she suddenly shot up in the rankings to like number 4 or something, and then Second Wind drafted her, and then it was like, this makes no sense. Like, how can this person exist without anyone knowing? And, you know, this just happened so suddenly. And then, so they went looking for evidence to prove that she's not real. And there were several streams where, like, Ellie streamed herself playing along with another pro, I guess, to prove that she was real. And then she eventually just quit the team and because of all the harassment and stuff. And so the initial stories were about... This is another case of harassment. You know, this is why there's so few female players in esports and all this stuff. So you thought, okay, you know, that's the end of it. This is a somewhat typical story in our time. But that was not the end of it. It turned out that Ellie was not real. Another gamer by the name of Punisher possibly some other players like created Ellie. And the girls that you saw on the stream were people that they had, like, agreed to cooperate to create this illusion. And, you know, they were the people providing the voice on voice chat while it was Punisher, I think, who was playing. And then so then the narrative became like, aha, you see, we who were, you're like calling harassers and whatnot, we were right. She was not real.
Definitely that doesn't make you less of a harasser.
Well, it got really, it's it's hard to see how any good comes out of this. Like, Punisher and whoever was involved in creating Ellie said that, oh, this is a this was a social experiment. But they haven't said, like, why? Like, what was the point of the experiment?
That is just trolling and, like, making Smurf accounts and then putting people that don't exist and, like, making it seem like they are the people that are those accounts. And
yeah. That's not... Blizzard was like, okay, so, yes, we have confirmed that Ellie is not real. And Second Wind was like, oh, we should have done better at, like, vetting our players and stuff because we didn't know. So... there's a lot of stuff there, but, you know, another narrative that's coming out of this is like, well, now it's going to be even harder for women to approach esports because every time one of them does, they will have to prove that they are real, first of all.
Really, you playing the game or someone else playing for you on the stream?
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
So, messy situation that appeared over the... over the break. I don't really know what to think of it.
It's been a weird lifetime.
It was, yeah. All right. So that was Overwatch League. Starts up in 2 months, I think, in February. So,
I mean, it still doesn't change the fact that they're harassers, though. I mean...
yeah. It's a not a good situation.
It's like you're still garbage people. That doesn't change that picture. But, you know, it's cool, I guess.
I don't know what is going to come of this, if this is something that's going to be ongoing, but it was just really funny. Or not. It was funny in a cynical way.
So funny, sad.
Yes. The next thing, so... how many consoles do you think is too many consoles for the market? Because the CEO of Slightly Mad Studios, Ian Bell, they make Project Cars. And he just got on Twitter. And the first thing that he tweeted was that they are releasing a console, or they're working on a console. So he tweeted out, "What is the Madbox?" I guess is the name of it. It's the most powerful console ever built. It's literally mad. You want 4K? You want VR at 60 frames per second? You want a full engine for free to develop your games on it? You have it.
what is happening?
That was his pitch. He's like, yeah, this is...
I don't know what the limit is, but there is a finite space, dudes and ladies out there.
So yeah, apparently
the market can only hold so much.
The Madbox.
That's why Sega doesn't make consoles anymore. Ask them about it. That's why Atari doesn't make consoles anymore. Ask them about it.
Well, I mean,
that's why who else? The Jaguar people. Atari is actually Jaguar. Never mind. But yeah, we've been down this road many times, and it always ends the same way. Someone has to lose. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, you and I just watched High Score Girl, and it feels like there was a time when there was like a bunch of different consoles that existed at the same time and they were all relevant. But then, yeah, if you think about it, it's like, that's true. But then in the aftermath of that, like, how many of them remained at the end? So, but yeah, like, I guess Slightly Mad Studios is releasing the Madbox, their own console. And it's going to be a console like the Xbox or PlayStation. It's going to support major VR headsets and upcoming VR headsets. Apparently, they're shooting for specs that are around the equivalent of a very fast PC 2 years from now. Variety contacted Ian Bell, and he basically gave them more details. So... that's sort of the specs. As for games, they're planning to allow games from all developers, old and new. They're going to give away a free game development engine that's apparently going to be somehow almost magically super easy to publish on multiple platforms with. And then, obviously, how do you sell a console without exclusive games? Well, according to them... they think that exclusives are exclusionary, This is a quote. But given that we'll be shipping a cross-platform engine to all developers, it will be their choice. As of now, we have no plans to pay developers incentives to exclude other hardware vendors. So possibly exclusives, but they're not doing it in the way that Microsoft and Sony have done it. And they, part of their philosophy explained, we think the industry is a little too much of a monopoly or a micro
oligopoly.
Yes. We think competition is healthy and we have the required hardware contacts to be able to bring something epic to fruition based on our designs. So how does this make sense? Like, we have the two consoles. It's going to be hard for a new player. Apparently, they already have multiple investors offering them the funding that they need.
What?
They're looking for the best offers right now. And they're thinking of possibly launching in countries that are not particularly open to other vendors at the moment.
Yeah.
So maybe hitting, in addition to, you know, the big markets, like smaller markets that maybe the big three aren't serving right now.
I mean, I think that would be the only way forward for them is like, well, we don't have to worry about Microsoft, Nintendo, or Sony in this country. So
yeah, maybe
we're the only game in town, guys. Yeah.
But wouldn't that be basically like a monopoly, which they're trying to avoid? Because I mean,
that's true.
Even though it's a, because it's like technically, you're doing exactly what you're saying. You're not
monopoly
trying
that
to do because competition is good, but you're releasing in a place where you have no competition, so you're doing exactly what you are not trying to do, basically.
It is hard to say, but they apparently have a lot of details already. So, as you know, they talked price. They say it's going to be competitive with upcoming console prices. But they're not planning on taking as large a cut as other console owners. So, you know, that thing with Epic Game Store and Steam, like, Epic Game Store is taking less of a percentage. Like, they're planning to do that as well. But then they won't be able to cut prices as massively. So, you know, maybe later on this console will be pricier than the next generation consoles. But they expect to be able to match the best of the rest early in the life cycle. And then, yeah, as to how far along is this? When will it launch? They say that the console will ship in around 3 years' time. They're already in early talks with manufacturers of components, but they have the designs specced out in detail already. And they released renders of the console. Did you see those?
Yeah, that's just weird.
It is strange-looking console. It's got lights coming out of it. Like a, well, it's called the M-Box. And so it's gonna be M shaped, I guess.
I think it's only concept right now, though.
Just send me a link to this.
I'm curious. So it's up on the stream. If you can, well, I guess you wouldn't want to open that because then you'll be able to hear yourself, or you can mute it.
Mm-hmm. It won't be fast enough.
But yeah, it's just like it's a strange looking thing. It's got lights and stuff on it. Excuse me. I guess. One of the things they said when he released the pictures was that, like, this is a console we want you to be proud to own. You will be proud to own this console. You won't want to hide it away in your console. You'll want to, like, display it proudly. And
so, as my waifu, I don't hide my consoles. They are out in the open.
I don't think anyone really hides their consoles. That's a weird thing for them to, I guess, use as a selling point.
But yeah, apparently consoles will be able to talk to each other wirelessly. Let's see. I did get that part. The Madbox has a one press deployable carry handle between the M's. So there's sort of like a dip in the middle and you can pull out a carrying handle. Apparently it weighs very little and will talk to other Madboxes without cables.
Creepy. Do we not teach ourselves? We're just asking for it. Just asking for it. It's cool, guys. It's cool.
He also included this tidbit, and I don't know if this is binding, but it is in writing. It says the best. So this is the part where he's about you're gonna want to celebrate your Madbox. You're not gonna hide it away. The best Madbox selfies we receive will get free games for life.
Interesting.
It's weird. But I don't know. I guess I'm of two minds. On the one hand, it would be cool to have like more console competition and stuff. And then who knows what that will push people, Sony or Microsoft, to do. But on the other hand, you know, if it becomes sort of the situation like streaming service now, like everyone has exclusives, which means that if you want all the exclusives, you need to have every streaming service.
That's not cool. I think I'm good. I don't need those Xbox exclusives because I haven't got an Xbox. So yeah, fine without it.
This time it's been fine. So yeah, that is the Madbox.
How mad are you?
My English teacher used to say, mad means crazy, every time I said that. I guess so.
Well, she's not wrong. It does.
All right, moving on. Next news story was, I guess I should balance these out, so I'll skip to a unfortunately news story. Star Control Origins got removed from Good Old Games and Steam.
No.
Because of a fight between Stardock and the original creators of Star Control, who now run Toys for Bob. And this thing is really crazy, because... So, the history is, I guess, Acclaim back in the day contracted the founders of Toys for Bob to make Star Control. And they made all this stuff for Star Control, and then they released it. And it wasn't like the situations today where like Sony owns Ratchet and Clank, but Insomniac makes it. Like, Toys for Bob owns many parts of Star Control. They just don't own the name Star Control. And so when, you know, over the years, eventually Stardock, when they bought the rights to Star Control, what they got was the name Star Control, the publishing rights for the first two games, the copyright for the third game, which Toys for Bob had nothing to do with, and like pretty much that. Like, you'd think, okay, so Stardock owns Star Control now, and they've been selling the old ones on Steam and Google Games and all these places, and then they announced that they were going to make Star Control Origins, and at the time they said, oh, we really... You know, we love the work that they did on Star Control 2, and so we're not going to touch that universe. We're going to start the multiverse of Star Control, and we're going to make our story set in an alternate universe. And that way, the original creators, if they ever want to, they can continue the story of Star Control 2 at a later time. But since Toys for Bob is part of Activision, like, they haven't been able to do that. And so it seemed like they had talked to the original creators, and was like, yeah... You know, this is what we're doing. Like, we really respect your work on the old ones. And so we're going to do our own thing. And, you know, we'll leave it open for you guys in the future if you want to make a sequel. And then at some point, it just, like, this relationship fell apart. Toys for Bob started saying, no, you do not own Star Control. You're, like... And the new game that you're making is too similar to Star Control 2, which means that you're infringing on our copyright for Star Control 2, and so you need to take all these games off the stores. And it's just become this huge mess where I don't know what's going to happen. I really love Star Control, and it's very sad. It's like, we had this pseudo-sequel in a different universe, and then at the same time, like, the day that they... Stardock was going to release the beta for Star Control Origins, Toys for Bob, they came out and announced that they were going to make the true sequel to Star Control 2, Ghost of the Precursors. And then Stardock was like, you can't market your game as Star Control 2 because we own Star Control, the name.
No.
It's just this huge fight and lots of back and forth, and it's a really long thing if you want to get into it, but suffice it to say, it's kind of messy, and I don't know what's going to happen.
Just kind of?
Maybe, I don't know. But you can't buy Star Control Origins right now. You can't buy the other Star Control games right now. I guess I'm glad that I did pre-order it back in the day, so it's still in my Steam library. I haven't played it yet. This is like the God of War situation where series I really like, and I just haven't played the new ones for some reason. So, yes, Star Control. Big mess. Who knows what will happen?
I mean, stuff. Will is taking like breathing into his mic. What's going on over there?
Not on purpose.
Then people can't breathe.
It. I mean, not like I didn't know it was like that heavy of breath. Whatever.
It was very, very much so.
All right. Good news. PlayStation 4 tops 91.6 million consoles.
Oh my.
Total sales. That is getting close to the ultra popular Wii's sales numbers of 101.6 million back in the day.
Wait, that's the maximum we sold?
I guess.
And the PS4 is almost there?
I know. It's pretty amazing. They sold 5.6 million over the holidays. And Spider-Man has sold 9 million as of November 25th. So, doing super well. This thing we care less about, but it seems impressive. PlayStation 4 has 91.6 million install base, and PlayStation Network has surpassed 90 million monthly active users as of the end of November 2018.
Did you just say 90 million?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
So, I mean, obviously it's not all PlayStation 4 users, but if it was, then it's like, that's crazy. That's like almost one-to-one attach rate. Yeah, so they thanked the fans. They announced these numbers at CES, which is going on right now. Pretty crazy. Doing so well. We don't know what the other ones are doing anymore. Nintendo apparently is at 23 million Switches. It's only been out 2 years, so that's fairly impressive as well. And yeah. Hardware numbers, Xbox doesn't talk about them anymore. Clearly, they are.
Want to know why?
They are behind.
They're not close to 90 million.
They're nowhere near 90 million.
Probably not. Dead or Alive 6 was delayed from its original February 15th release date to March 1st. Game director and producer Yohei Shimbori apologized for the inconvenience, saying the title's development is already near complete. However, we would like to take more time to further polish its balance, gameplay, and expressivity. In return for your patience, we commit to bringing you the best Dead or Alive gaming experience.
Mm-hmm.
Fluff! All this stuff is good. So we can just go down the list. If you use Humble Bundle, or the Humble Store, Nintendo games are now being sold there. So another way to buy digital Nintendo Switch games, especially since there's more opportunities to get free money from the Humble Store than there are on the Nintendo eShop.
So wait, is the Humble Bundle, that's the one that you pay what you want thing, but then you get like, if you pay like a certain amount, you get like unlocking tiers or something?
Right, so originally that's what Humble Bundle was. Then they added a store, which is like Steam. So that's where like the Nintendo games are. And it's only first party games, I think. It's only like 40 of them or something. And then they also added like a Humble Bundle monthly subscription where they give you like 9 games or so every month from the Humble Store. So, yeah, pretty good deals occasionally. But no, the coupons for Humble Store are much easier to come by than Nintendo eShop.
That's because Nintendo doesn't like to lower their prices on things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. new demos coming out. So first, the new demo for Devil May Cry 5. Originally, the first one was Xbox only. And now they're releasing...
which I was very upset about.
Whoops. Now they're releasing one for PS4, PC, and Xbox One. That is coming out February 7th?
Well, that's going to be too late.
It's past the day.
There might not be a world left.
Yeah, so in preparation for that, they've taken down the demo on the Xbox One. And yeah, now everyone's got to wait for the new one to come out.
I'm excited about that game, though.
9 new games have joined PlayStation Now's lineup. They are Chess Ultra, which is a chess game. Well, apparently it has Grandmaster-approved AI, so you can play single player against AI, just like in the news. It also has VR online multiplayer and 4K visuals, although you can't get any of that stuff streaming, so you have to download the game. Yes, for chess.
Mm.
God Eater 2, Rage Burst, Locke's Quest, Metro 2033 Redux, Onechanbara Z2 Chaos, Prey, Project Cars 2, Skydrift, and Thunder Wolves for PS3. Oh, Skydrift is also PS3. I don't know what those two games are.
What two games?
Skydrift and Thunder Wolves.
Oh, yeah, I don't know what those are either.
Oh, wait, I was going to mention the other demo. Two demos Capcom announced. Devil May Cry 5, and then also Resident Evil 2, the one-shot demo.
Just the one-shot demo. Yeah,
coming out January 11th, so pretty soon. This is a special demo. Apparently, you only get to play it once. You get 30 minutes total, unlimited continues if you die, and the timer pauses when you're in the menus. But once the 30 minutes is up, you get to watch a new trailer for the game, and you can watch that as many times as you want, but you can't play the game anymore. For that, you have to wait for the launch on January 25th. Pretty interesting. Have there been any other demos like that?
I've seen demos that limit how many times you can play them, yeah. But not like where it's only been like, oh, this is one time. So, yeah, it's odd.
Interesting. All right, so that is the news.
Yay.
That was tough over here. But yeah, was there any other news that you guys saw over the break that seemed interesting? No?
Yeah, I can think of off the top of my head right now, no.
Yeah, the new console thing was the most jarring, I think, for me. Just like, what? You get on Twitter and the first thing you do is announce the console?
Did you talk about the Ubisoft thing and how, like, after Division 2, they're going to only put their games on Epic Store?
I did not. I saw that happen today, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I didn't see that. So the Epic Game Store coup is beginning?
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be, like, a big story this year. It's, like, all the defections.
Yeah. Like, there was that other story where The Walking Dead Final Season was on Steam. But then all new sales will be from the Epic Games Store. So if you already bought it on Steam, you get the last few episodes. But if you didn't buy on Steam, you can't buy it on Steam anymore. They're not putting it back on Steam.
Dun, dun.
Very interesting. Dun. Yeah, Epic Games Store has been making moves. Like, their move to get you to download it and give it a chance is they're giving away free games. So they already gave away Subnautica. And then Super Meat Boy. And then, I think in a few days, I forget what the third game they're giving out is. But, yeah. I mean, I guess that is one way to get people to get on your platform. EA's Origin platform did that, too. They have a Origin on the House program where they give away games every month.
I really wish Tekken would stop doing everything he's doing. Just like, it's like, mute your mic if you're going to do all this stuff. All
right, we should just sign off then. It has been a long podcast. Yep. But it's the first one back from break. That's what you get.
Anything to say before you sign off, RPG?
Kingdom Hearts.
Anything to say before we start off topical?
Hope you like the show.
So yeah, Aimless Bible Z. Until you hear or see from us again, right now, signing off.
Goodbye.
I can eat my Reese's Pieces in peace.
I mean, it doesn't matter now. You're crunching the entire time.
The Reese's Pieces. The entire time. Oh, the next free game is What Remains of Edith Finch.
Oh my gosh, me too, Mike Tekken. So help me God, I'm going to
come through this mic and, like, strangle you.
Not possible.
They sound so crunchy.